Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up all night with us here. It's a crazy cold and wet night, as Pam was just saying in the news with the traffic report. There's a lot of problems out there, and that's because the weather is not real good. Hey, Pam Jones, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I don't think we have ever met before, have we?
I don't think so either. I was going to say that, so I'm glad I was right about that estimation.
Here's how I know I already like you a lot, Pam, because you have it really dark in the newsroom.
Oh, yes. I was jealous of your darkness. Yes,
I just said that. Do I have better darkness than you have?
Yes, you have more darkness than I have, and I'm very jealous right now. I think I should match your darkness.
It's this fine line between being able to see and feeling like really, I don't know what it is. Do you do this all the time? Because Patty Vasquez got me into this years ago when we were in the Tribune Tower, because the lights are so harsh because they have the cameras in here for like the CLTV live feeds.
Right,
so
right.
They have really harsh kind of bad lighting. In the middle of the night, it just doesn't seem right. It seems like after they've made last call and then everybody has to clear the bar and they flip the lights up and it's very harsh at first.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel when I'm in here with all the lights on in the middle of the night.
I wear sunglasses a whole lot and people look at me like I'm crazy. But, you know, these are almost, and they're probably not fluorescent, but they are fluorescent-esque.
That LED now, whatever the new is, the temperature's not the same, right?
They're too cool. Yeah. I don't know. Something's wrong.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's not natural.
All right, so everybody, if you're sitting at home in the dark, if you got your lights out, whatever, if we're all in the mood, we're all feeling the vibe tonight. It's a dark and stormy evening.
How does it feel? Because I haven't been outside in a while.
You know, it's funny because I'm driving in and it's raining, but it feels to me like spring rain. But I'm looking at the thermometer on the car that tells you the temp outside, and it said like 37, which should feel like really, really cold. But it didn't feel that bad as I was walking around outside. It's cold because it's raining, and that's annoying. But it didn't feel like terrible, terrible, like I'm freezing like I would have been 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I don't get it.
All right. Well.
So maybe just because it was so nice and warm during the day the last couple of days.
Yeah, but, it was.
But it's messy out there. And you mentioned a number of different incidents on the road. I'm not surprised because the rain's coming down pretty good on the expressways.
Oh, okay. It doesn't look like, you know, when it rains really hard, we're up here on the 18th floor.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you look at some of the signs on the hotels, you can kind of tell it's raining because they get a little blurry. Right now, I'm not seeing that. So I didn't really realize it was coming down hard. So.
I mean, it was, I don't know, I don't want to oversell it. It's not like it's, Noah's Ark downpour, but it's enough that, like, so here, I'll tell you what, and this drove me crazy in the wind. I wonder if other people are like this. I am spoiled and ruined by intermittent wipers on the car.
Yes.
I can never, like, I can't go with just regular wipers anymore. You know, when we were growing up, when we first got a car, you whoop, 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 whoop. You know, my first car was a 1969 Buick Skylark. I'm sure there was just on or high, if it even had both of those. But now you have this intermittent thing that you can, and intermittent is very difficult to say a bunch of times. but you know, you can adjust how often it's going with the delay. And I can never be satisfied. If I have it on the whole time, it drives me crazy. Now it's too much, even if it's raining hard. So then I'll put on the intermittent. But then it's not enough. Now the glass is getting too wet. So I got to turn it up a little bit. And then it's very hard to find the exact
perfect. There is no happy medium.
There isn't for me. And I wonder if I have a weird OCD thing I'm developing where I can't get satisfied with these stupid wipers.
I agree.
Because, like, have too many choices. If it was just on off, I'd go with on, right? I'd have to do it. And I'd live with it.
Or you'll do what I do, and I turn them on and turn them off. I'm constantly kicking them on, off, on, off.
I do that, too. And that drives me.
It's ridiculous.
I'm, like, I'm a lunatic driving down. It's like, just turn it on and turn it off. It's raining. What's your problem? Like, I don't know. I can't handle it. So then I flip it on all the time, and then I'll just adjust maybe just one more tick, because I have a Honda CR-V, and it's got the intermittent, which I remember when that first came out, I'm assuming, like 20 years ago or whatever, there'd be like two choices on the intermittent. Now it's like you got this dial, you could turn it up, you could turn it down, it's about 8 different clicks, and so I'll keep playing.
And I'm counting seconds. I'm like, okay, so if this click has, like, you know, 2 seconds between or 3 seconds, it's ridiculous.
So then you get it just right, but then a car gets in front of you and they're spraying your windshield the whole time. So then it throws the whole thing off. You got to start over again.
That's true.
I guess it keeps you busy during the drive.
True.
Real quick, as long as we're chatting with Pam, and somebody just texted, how is Roger? So if you don't know, Roger's missing this weekend because he got sick after the show. I wouldn't say after our show last week, but sometime on Saturday. So I guess it was after our show, but I'm not gonna blame me or Jess. Although Roger is blaming. If you were listening last week, you know that Jess and I made Roger try Swedish fish for the first time.
He
didn't know what a Swedish fish was. Now he's in Swedish Covenant Hospital.
He is
I
out.
I don't think those two are related. He did get out?
Yeah, he's out. I texted him and he texted back.
He did send out a Twitter thing. He did Cartman from South Park saying, I'm getting the hell out of here. So I didn't know if he was out yet or not. We're not the morning zoo show, so we're not going to call him, wake him up in the middle of the night, make him come on the air and tell us about his illness. But Rod spent, unfortunately, and he was tweeting about this, so I'm not giving away. I'm not ruining any HIPAA laws or OSHA acts here, I don't believe. He was tweeting about the fact that he was in the hospital during the week. And they had to get the antibiotics right, whatever it was. He's feeling better. He seemed better.
But we miss him. That is the important thing.
Well, poor you. Now you're up all night because of Roger.
No, but, you know, we get together on the weekends, too. He comes after my shift, and so...
Oh, okay. So you guys get to see each other all the time.
Yeah. Until he gets sick.
You left me. You left me. It's all about me. I think he had said it's been like 4.5 years since he'd been sick.
He's a trooper. I told him. You know, yeah. We were just joking about this before he got sick about how he comes in. He's got these crazy stories about coming in, you know, like on the brink of whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, you got to lower that bar, Roger. You're making it really hard for the rest of us.
Yeah. He hasn't. No, I miss shows a decent amount of time for work or whatever. But I can't remember the last time. Because I don't know. Because Pam, first time you and I have met. I can't remember. Like I was thinking about today. I didn't know who was filling in. I was thinking, I don't even know who would fill in for Roger. I can't remember the last time Roger wasn't here when I was here. It's literally been years.
Yeah, and they're having to do a lot. You know, Roger's really important to us, and they're having to do a lot to try to fill his shoes. None of us can actually accurately fill Roger's shoes, but, you know, we can pinch hit.
Yeah, you're going to do just fine. And we appreciate very much you staying up with us tonight and hanging out here. We have a listener calling. Pam, I hope you didn't come in with preconceived notions. Roger made us. We used to have pizza like every weekend on the show. We'd order pizza. We found a place called Papanino's that delivers pizza in the middle of the night. Roger made us quit because it was, you know, he wants us to be healthier. Then he goes in the hospital. I told him. I said, Roger, you know what they say?
The cat's away.
They say starve a cold, feed a fever, a slice of overnight pizza. But he's not buying it. Rick's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Yeah, Papanino's. I like to order a pepperoni. Make it an extra large, please. You deliver, right?
Rick, we don't take the orders. Yeah. We call them and
Papanino's.
We order. Yeah.
I was talking to the lady before on the phone. She said someone else would take my order.
Okay, yeah.
And so so I'd like an extra large pepperoni with some sausage on it.
Well, what do you mean with some sausage on it? It's either with sausage or not with sausage.
How much can you fit in your hand to put on a pizza?
Well, you know, we usually do 2 handfuls. It's an extra large.
Give me 2 handfuls.
2 handfuls of sausage.
You cut them in slices or in those triangles?
We do triangles. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. We don't do triangles. We do the squares. Yes, we do the squares.
Oh, you do squares. Yeah. Are you sure you're Papanino's?
Yeah, no.
Sound confused to me.
We're like a DoorDash that doesn't work is what we are. We're an intermediary that will never get it delivered to you.
DoorDash. I don't know nothing from a door or a dash. I just want some pizza.
You know what? Maybe this is, Pam, maybe we'll go into business together. This is perfect because in the middle of the night, when you call up and you order pizza or you go to Taco Bell, whatever it is, what do you do an hour later? You regret that decision.
This is
perfect. You call us. We'll take your money. We won't send you any food. And in the morning, you'll thank us. You'll say, you know what? I feel better. I'm glad I didn't do that.
But wait a minute, you gotta deliver because I can't pay if you don't deliver.
Oh no, we'll take it.
And I got a bunch of guys over here. We're hungry.
Jess has got a square.
The pizza.
Jess will take your credit card number. We'll charge you. That's not a problem. We can get that part
done. Credit card? Who's got a credit card?
You're going cash on this transaction.
You think we're rich people or something, buddy? You only get an extra large. Yes, if I had money,
You said 2 handfuls of sausage. I think you're Mr. Yeti Warbucks over there.
If you said a couple of handfuls, that's what you put on the sauce, on the pizza, the extra large, then that's a couple of handfuls of sausage, buddy.
We're going to charge you the Chicago way for that sausage here, buddy.
What, are you putting your thumb on the weight again? Is that how you weight? You make it a weight? It's not 10 pounds, it's 20 pounds. That's
right.
A fat thumb there, buddy.
It's a lot of pressure on that thumb.
It's a lot of pressure. I've had pressure before. But we're hungry. We need a pizza. How soon can you get it here?
What do you think, Jess? What are we running now? About 45 minutes? Where are we delivering to? Where are you at, Rick?
I have no clue.
Okay. we'll have it right there.
I have no clue. I am out somewhere where they got one street light and it's a mile down the road.
One street light a mile down the road. Do we turn left or right at the street light?
I usually go in circles.
I'll tell you what, when we get there, we'll just start screaming, Rick, and you come out and grab the pie.
I'll come out, I'll wave at you, I'll have a lantern, okay. Not a flashlight, because we can't afford the batteries. I'll have a lantern, and I'll wave it back and forth, like when the train comes through the backyard.
Perfect. All right, Rick, you wait. We got the pie in the oven, two handfuls of sausage. It sounded like he was going into a script for a horror movie. I was getting nervous there for a second.
What else did it sound like? Can you think? Just think a little while.
Oh, wait. Was I not picking up on something there?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think about his voice.
Holy crap. Is that Roger? Is that literally Roger?
This is Papanino's.
That's not Roger.
Is this Papanino's pizza? I want to know how much you charge him for that pizza.
Roger, how are you, buddy?
I literally had no clue that
was Roger. Now it's Roger. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, I should be sleeping.
Yeah, you should be. Or working.
Yeah,
one of the two.
Somehow I felt your presence.
Thank you. Well, you know, after coming home from the hospital today, I can best describe myself as a mountain bear that has just awoken from hibernation.
I would imagine you're pretty antsy to get up and get around.
And not just that, but I need to go down to the river and clean up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Roger. We appreciate that. They don't
just
have a good.
Tad,
what they don't have? They don't have showers in the hospital. They didn't tell you couldn't shower. Jeez.
I was out of it.
You know what Roger was doing all week, Pam, right? There'd be some cute nurse. He'd be like, I really need a sponge bath.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Yeah. And you know what they did?
Laughed.
They got the sponge. They put water on it. They threw it at
you. No, we didn't
have any sponge. It was a rough week. I didn't start turning the corner until about Thursday morning-ish. The peaks on my temperature fell below 101. And so I was starting to feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But my temperature ranges were ranging between 100 and 102.5 for the early part of the week. So I was kind of out of it.
And so they finally got your antibiotics, right? Got you back on the meds. So you're finally home. Did they figure out, know why you got sick? How you got sick? Was that just something that happened?
This is a repeat of what happened to me about 3 weeks after my cancer operation. Because not that the gamey bear didn't turn anyone off. But
yes, please, let's
no
go more
bladder.
Into hold on, let me get Kathy and Judy on the phone. It's Merry Medical Christmas in April. Let's go.
So I don't have a bladder. They took it out from the cancer.
Okay.
And so I have to use other means.
Sure.
And that means is by having an open portion of my body that can and will get infected from time to time. It comes with the territory. My problem was I figure, all right, I had it once, I'm done.
Yeah.
And so that's why this one also threw me for a loop. In fact, we're out at the grandkids gymnastics meet on Saturday when I started feeling like not really altogether there. And by that night, I was in the hospital.
Did you ask the doctors whether or not the lack of pizza might have contributed to this? Because I think that what happens, Roger, is what you need is like a regular course of probably antibiotics or maybe something so bacterial laden that it fights off the other problems. And by letting go of
saying.
The pizza and the grease and everything else we used to ingest in the middle of the night, you probably set your body back 20 years.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, Matt, I don't care how you put it. You're not getting pizza.
Wow. God. He's terrible. He's terrible. He's in the hospital for a week, and he's as cranky as ever. Jeez.
Now, Roger, I feel like you never, that's the part of the story you never told me. Like, I feel like at least once or twice a month you tell me this story about how you used to buy pizza for everybody.
Oh,
is that how
he tells me about Papalino's and all this?
I used to buy pizza for everybody?
Yeah, but he never did explain, you know, why the practice stopped. I thought it was because maybe prices went up, you know, because you used to talk about Dominic's. Dominic's used to have some good pizza.
Pam, he hasn't bought a pizza in like 3 years. It was me every week.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the real two reasons. One was that I lost, like, you know, 2/3 of my income when I retired from teaching. And two, Dominic shut down.
Okay.
Because that's where I bought the pizza.
Fair enough.
For the last few years, we've been buying it from this place called Papanino's, which delivers in the middle of the night. And it's actually really good.
You were the one who started that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't around for Roger.
Then
Biden's.
I think you should finish it.
Yeah.
Well,
starting tonight.
See, that's what always happens. Somebody new comes and goes,
wait a
minute.
I'm a little hungry.
No, I'm really not. I actually brought a couple slices, and then we had some Mexican food a little earlier on the show. So, yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right.
And so the rest of us
no
trying to be healthy. No pizza for me. Nope. I'm trying to be good. Yeah. Trying to be good.
You got a little dip tonight?
Yeah, and I don't think I had the queso fundido, though. I've gotta go back in there. Maybe there's some left somewhere. I had the pumpkin dip, but it was really good. Everything there is
look
good.
Look at that, Matt.
Interesting. Well, I just brought I brought some guacamole and chips. That's all I'm doing. Just is all excited. All right. Just loves the guacamole. So that'll get us through the night. So, Raj, back next week? Are you back this weekend, or what's going on with you?
Well, I'm knock on wood. I've still got antibiotics to take for a few more days. Need to kind of shake this out of my system. I've gotten the all clear from the doctor to get back to regular activities, which basically means I sit on my behind and watch TV half
a day. Well, it also means you play golf one day a week. And did you miss that this week?
Golf has started, but I probably will not get out till the week after this coming week, I think. Just to make
probably
sure.
Good idea.
Well, not that my game will be any better from
no,
it.
No, I'm sure it won't.
But, I got to look halfway decent out there. So I'm planning on being back next weekend.
Good.
And hassling you even more.
Can only imagine.
And maybe, if you're good, maybe if to celebrate, we might have some Papanino's pizza.
Oh, really? A little celebratory Rogers back Papanino's pizza?
I think so.
Wow.
And that will be the night that I camp out at work.
You're more than welcome at any time, Pam, to come hang out with us and have a slice of pizza.
Cool.
Absolutely. Of course, here's my one concern.
Oh.
It's been so long since we've ordered from them.
And we're at a new facility. They've only been here like once or twice.
Right. So I think they're going to get lost again.
That's right. They did get lost once. We didn't get the pizza.
They were down on Lower Wacker Drive for about a half an hour.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't know the area around here where we're at now, you can get lost pretty easily in the up and down.
Oh, it is.
There. There's a lot
isn't
of levels
there, like,
of Wacker.
Two
no, I think there's levels three levels of Wacker right here, isn't there?
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, because there's a lower one. I was trying to meet somebody over at the Lowe's Hotel for the weekend, and like, I was going around in circles on that lower for, I don't know, half an hour.
Way down there is where they drag race, right? There have been stories about that. Yeah, there's some caverns
down
there.
And there are people down there with eyes that glow, too. So you want to stay away from that area.
Or seek them out. Depends on the weekend you're looking to have.
Yeah. Guys, I miss you all.
That
so
is
much.
Scary.
Roger, you have a great weekend. Rest up. Enjoy. Hey,
will do.
Now you're back home.
Yeah.
Now you're back home. You're in a forced rest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, through Prime or however you do it, get a HBO Go subscription for the month and catch up on Game of Thrones.
Catch up? There's how many seasons?
No, you know what?
12.
No. I think it's like maybe 8 seasons, maybe it's 9, but they only did like 8 to 10 episodes every year. I'm telling you, it's like 60 hours.
Yeah, but how long was each episode?
It's an hour. But I'm telling you, if you've got the week, Roger, once you start it, you'll get pretty addicted to it.
What did I tell you about the first episode I watched?
I didn't know that you'd watched an episode.
Yes. I watched the very first episode
a
long time ago.
Okay.
And I shut it off after about 15 minutes.
Why?
When I pushed when I pushed the person out the window.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is going on with this program? And I said, this is not my cup of tea, and I turned it off. Not the entire world is Game of Thrones crazy like you.
Most of the world is, A. B.
No, it's
B,
not most.
B. I'm almost 100% sure that that push happens at the very end of the episode. So you made it through the first episode.
No, it was closer to... Maybe I did. You know what? So much happened in the middle that was just like I didn't pay attention to.
Oh, Roger.
I don't remember.
Oh, Roger, Roger. You got to try
it again.
It was
not my cup of tea.
Oh, it's so
good. Was not my... Plus, I got to pay for it, so I ain't paying for it.
Well, all right.
Can you get it on Amazon Prime?
He'd have to still subscribe to HBO Go, I think.
Yeah.
But it'd probably be like $8 for a month, and month and quit.
Actually, you can watch it on Prime without joining HBO, but you have to pay for each episode.
Oh yeah, no. See, that's why I disagree with this whole Prime thing. I'm sorry, they're not getting me like that.
No. So I'm saving up my money for
Prime, Pam.
I do belong to Prime, but I only watch things that come
that
with
free.
The Prime membership. Once you start charging extra, then it's not Prime anymore. I would love to have that BritBox on there because a lot of what I watch is British programming. Mm-hmm. Most of what I watch is British programming.
Really?
But I will not pay for that BritBox. It's just a concept. I won't.
Yeah.
What is?
I did it for Bridget. We've got BritBox because Bridget and I both love those mysteries.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
You guys need to explain this to me real quick. What is BritBox? Is it just like a Netflix portion for British television?
Yes.
Basically. It's their own channel for a lot of the old British shows, new British shows, all different kinds. You can watch the morning newscast from there, which are really good. And there's mysteries. There's, they're notoriously known for their detective series.
Yes,
they've been on for like 20, 30 years. These detective series have been on. There are series in England that have been on longer than the episodes of Game of Thrones.
Inspector Morse.
Oh, please, don't get me started.
Yes,
we
don't get me started.
We talked about this, Matt. Don't we talk about this?
I don't remember. We've talked a lot about your British television loves, but I don't remember talking about the BritBox portion. I've heard of this, I didn't know what it was.
There's also Acorn, which is another service. Is that what you call it? Like HBO is a service?
Well, HBO is like a channel. So it just has HBO programming. But is Acorn another one where you can get multiple different things through it?
Well, no. Acorn is the thing that specializes in British programming.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, like ABC has certain rights to certain shows, and CBS has certain rights to certain shows. That's what kind of Acorn is and BritBox is.
Okay.
Each has its own content. But BritBox is great because you've got all the Doctor Who stuff on it.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
Hey, Roger, real quick, I got to let you go because we got to get to the news. Yeah. I know you wouldn't want us to be late, but a lot of texts came in supporting you, so let me just read a couple. 870, he is not supposed to buy pizza. He's asked to save up for Disney. 301, love you, Roger, get well. 870, holy crap, love you, Roger. 412, Matt, you tried to kill Roger. I hate you, Matt. Jess, don't order any pizza for Matt. Okay, that one's a little out there, but sure.
Okay.
Thanks for the update.
Now wait, we got to calm him down.
Roger teaches me a new life lesson. Okay, we lost him. He's gone. Roger, feel better, buddy. Rest up. Give a hug to Bridget for us. Have a good week. We will see you on late Friday night next week, sir.
You got it, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks for checking in.
Love you.
Bye bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Love you.
I had no clue that was Roger.
Errol keeps going, should we tell him? Should we tell him? Like, yes, we got to tell him.
Pam, did you know from the moment you heard his voice, or did you know he was calling?
No, Ro had to tell me.
Man, I did not have a clue. Not a clue.
She saw me making faces, and then she's like, you know.
Too crazy. All right. Well, it's good to hear from Roger. Now, you all know that he's good and he is well and he will be back before we know it. It is a little bit after 1:31 in the morning. Let's check the news headlines right now. Here's Pam Jones. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. The Bulls host the Raptors as they look to upset the Eastern Conference contenders. That's tonight at 6:30 on WGN-TV. Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN. We're here with you until 5 in the morning. Pam Jones is in the newsroom tonight. Roger Badish, if you were just tuning in, he's off this week. He was sick during the week. He's feeling much better now. He just checked in with us and totally had me going. I did not know that that was Roger on the phone at all.
I wonder if I'd be able to make him laugh like he was just laughing on the radio just now. Like, what people don't hear is when he's off the radio and I crack a joke or something, or I talk about some crazy news story that we're doing, and he's like breathless and looking like he should go to the hospital.
Wheezing
and I feel really
and
bad sometimes.
Yeah, Roger does that sometimes.
I think you did it to him tonight, though, so I don't feel guilt right now.
I'm not going to feel bad about that. Roger took away our pizza, so.
Wow.
If I can pain him with some laughter, then that's okay. That's okay. Real quick, Pam, I wanted to ask you, because I just noticed this on the way in tonight. I swear I hadn't heard of it, and then you were just doing a news report about it. Scott's Law.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw you on the spot there about this. But the, you know how the message boards, when you're driving on the expressways, they have little signs like, you know, click it or ticket, or they do kind of funny ones. And I saw one tonight said, Scott's Law, move over, slow down. And that's all it said. And then I heard you doing a news report about all the workers or the police officers that have been hit so far this year, like an insane amount. We're not far into the year.
Right. We're only like 19. Well, how many days? 29?
We're one quarter of the year in, right?
And there have been.
As of Monday.
Right.
And like 15,
right,
I want to say, or something like that.
And at least two killed.
So, because my wife had said something about, or somebody said something recently to me about, is it against the law that it was out?
I believe that you
like
can get pulled over.
For driving in the left-hand lane for too long? Are they trying to crack down and
in Indiana,
that's a passing
lane
only?
Yeah, in Indiana, if you're in that left lane, it is a passing lane, and you're going too slow. There have been several state troopers that have pulled people over for that.
But is that for going too slow or just for driving? Because I thought I had heard something like the left lane is really for passing, and once you pass or whatever, you don't just cruise in the left lane the whole time. You're back in the middle lane.
Well, not to make light of a serious situation, but
because it's two different things,
always
right?
Passing. So,
well, I hear you.
So I kind of need that lane. That's kind of Pamela's lane.
And my guess is that this law is more about construction zones and when there's emergency lights and vehicles on the side of the road and things like that.
Well, this is just if you see emergency vehicles or workers on the side of the road, then you need to
slow
down, and when it's safe, move over to that other lane.
So I'm thinking of something different. I thought I had heard something that they're cracking down in Illinois now about just riding in the left-hand lane the whole time.
We have been doing a lot of stories about Indiana because it is against the law to ride that lane, because you know everybody's experienced those drivers who want everybody else to go 40 miles an hour on the highway, and that's just dangerous because you know semis are not going 40 miles an hour and you will get run off the road.
I think that is definitely dangerous, and the interesting thing to me is I maybe they're not pushing that in Illinois, but quite honestly, here in the Chicago area, if you said you can't be in that left-hand lane unless you're passing, we have too many cars to just give up a lane at all times for passing. You know what I mean? I mean, in the morning, every car space is filled in every single lane, so it's not like everybody can suddenly get over one and just leave that empty for certain times, and people are trying to pass all the time anyway, so it would rarely, like as I'm driving in for the overnight, then you could do it, then you could just get back in the middle of the lane most of the way down, but otherwise there's too many cars, it's impossible to just say, oh, that lane is only for passing, only go in that when you're about to pass somebody.
Well, but I think it's more about just trying to let people know that the probability of that law being enforced is out there. They're not really being so strict about it that they're stopping every single driver that does that in every single situation. But if you know that you get in trouble for doing it, those people that annoy us will start paying attention and getting over in the slow lane.
I try to be good about when I see a car barreling up behind me. All right, I'll get over. I'll let you go. You're going faster than I am. That's fine. What drives me crazy, though, is during the middle of the week when I'm driving home or driving in and there's 18 cars in every lane. You know, every space, and somebody behind me is barreling down on me, like, get over. And it's like, okay, there's cars next to me. There's not like some open spot. And the person in front of me and the 800 cars in front of them, you're not going to get us all to move over because you want to go faster. There's too many cars. Just deal with it. This is how fast we're all going.
That's true. That's true. Now, I'm reading a story now, right now, that says state law for 15 years has designated interstate left lanes, and this is in Illinois. Illinois says interstate left lanes are primarily passing lanes, but Illinois State Police say troopers this year could give you a $120 ticket if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
So it is. So they are trying to crack down on that a little bit.
Yes, you are correct.
Interesting.
Yes, I thought it was only Indiana.
Yeah.
Because all the stories we've done recently have been about Indiana. And, you know, they even profiled troopers who had stopped, you know, certain people. So it was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. Getting back to the intermittent wiper, somebody had texted earlier. Let me find that real quick. Dun, 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 dun. I, too, am very fidgety about my wipers, always adjusting the intermittent setting. Does your CR-V have the one wipe option? This is done by pushing up on the control arm. Yes. Yes, it does. So that's right, Pam and I, we didn't talk about that.
I don't know what this is.
Well, you have the on-off, and then you have the intermittent. So at least on my car, you go down once, it's on intermittent. You go down twice, it's on the entire time. But if instead, when it's set at nothing, you push the arm up, it just wipes them once. And then you let go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got that.
Like just a quick wipe.
I had to think about how this happens. Yeah, I had to recreate the driving experience.
And now I'm upset that they're even reminding me of that, because now that's another thing I'm going to throw into this thing. Now, like, I'm going to think, well, maybe I just do one wipe here, one wipe here. All right, good. But then I don't want to be doing that the whole way down, where I'm just lifting it up and down every 2 seconds.
Well, you know, I'll say I drove, because I think I'm about to have a car funeral on my hands, and I'm really sad. I'm really upset about that. But my car turned 20 this year.
20 years old?
Yes. It has 317,000 miles on it. And I just blew the transmission.
So wait, it's a 1999?
Yeah.
You have a turn of the century vehicle.
I do. And I'm trying to keep it. My parents are trying to convince me not to, but I say drop a new tranny in it. But
man. All right. What kind of car is it?
Anyway, it's a Nissan Pathfinder.
A Nissan Pathfinder from 1999. Mm-hmm.
First car I ever paid off, and it was really hard. Yeah. They were pretty expensive back then, sure. On my little salary. And I love the car. It's seen me through everything.
Yeah, well, so, it's your whole adult life.
Yeah.
So how many miles does it have?
317,000. Wow. I thought I was going to make it to 320.
That's impressive. You beat my record. So I got rid of a Honda Accord. I think 2-ish years ago, that had 307,000 miles.
Wow.
And it was still running good, but it was just...
And it was that one that drives low to the ground, the little sporty one with the...
It didn't have the spoiler or anything on it. It was just kind of the, you know, four-door family car type Honda Accord. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they just run so well.
They were cute back then, though.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the cutest. I mean, I never liked the trunk on it. I had a year that I didn't love the trunk, but, I mean, it was such a good car.
Yeah.
It just runs so well.
Mm-hmm.
And 317,000 miles, Pam.
I know, but I can't let it go. There's a basketball player that also drives a really old car like that, and I don't know who it is, but I always say, but there's a basketball player when somebody talks about my car.
There's somebody that has that. 317,000 miles, and a new transmission would cost you, what, a couple grand?
They're telling me that it's going to take, is it really going to take 10 hours to put a transmission in? Really? They want $900 for the labor. Yeah. I know.
I don't know. I mean, I think that is a big, you know, they got to hoist that thing out of there and do all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
10 hours does seem like a lot, but.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know.
What I really got to find is somebody who'll tow it for free from the transmission place where it is right now back to my house, so I can think about this, so I can mull it over for a minute before I make the. Because recently I put some things into it that, like, you know, I put new tires on it.
Yeah,
you know,
so you hate to give it up now?
Yeah. And I hate to give it up anyway, because it still runs. Like, I got stopped trying to get to work, like, where it went into this mode where everything was neutral while I was driving it.
Yeah.
So I ended up stopping in a lane of traffic, and I MacGyver everything. So I MacGyvered it enough to get it off the side of the road, and then MacGyvered it back to my house eventually.
Yeah.
But now it can't move any further. It's doing the car X. Rattle, rattle, thunderclatter, boom, boom, boom. That's my car.
Don't worry, call the car X.
See?
Man. Very nice.
You know that song. Oh, yeah. I love you.
Please. All right. So how far is your house from the shop it's at?
4 miles.
Oh, that's not far.
No.
But it's probably minimum $100 for the tow.
Right. And I've already done that once this week.
Yeah, that does suck. All right. Just four miles or four blocks? What did you say?
4 miles.
4 miles. Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say 4 blocks. You could just get some friends and push the thing.
Yeah, but you know what?
4 miles.
You know, you hear about that inferior metal on Nissan cars.
No.
There's probably not enough frame back there for somebody to push me. Now,
well, then maybe it's time to just go ahead and get the new carpet.
No. As long as you don't touch it, it won't fall apart.
Well, the problem is somebody might touch it someday with you in it, and that's going to be a problem for you.
No, it's fine. The frame is still there. I'm good. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. No, there are hooks on the front. Somebody could do the chain thing, but, you know, being that there's a transmission problem and with the gears, there may also be a problem with the wheels moving like they should. I wouldn't trust somebody pulling me. I need a flatbed.
That's what I need.
So anybody got a flatbed, want to help me out, let me know.
That's going to cost you a couple bucks.
I know, right?
That's going to cost a couple bucks.
I think I'm going to wait till the middle of the night. I'm going to okay it with the guy on the lot. And I'm going to drive that sucker home on the emergency lanes, all illegal.
So it'll run, it just won't really run?
It was running when I left it there. I hobbled it to this shop because I was just not going to pay another tow truck. I was just not. Yeah. And so I managed to MacGyver it enough on the side of the road and turning it on and off. You know, I there's a number of things that I try when I try to get this car running. And I got it there. It's just a rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter. That's what it is.
Funny.
And it actually makes all those noises. It's crazy.
Maybe you should call CarX. Maybe they can help.
Right?
We'll throw a new muffler on it. We'll say, I don't know if that's going to help. But
it needs that, too.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that. At least I didn't put that on there.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Bill is in Indiana. He wants to talk to us about some laws out there. Hey, Bill, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, well, I actually live in Chicago, but we go to Indianapolis all the time on I-65.
Uh-huh.
And I've passed state troopers on I-65 doing 80 mile an hour in the left-hand lane. They won't bother you because it's strictly a fast lane for passing and fast driving. As long as you drive normally and don't do any erratic lane changing and stuff, they won't bother you.
Bill, do you have Illinois plates?
Yep.
Boy, I'm very surprised to hear you say that you can.
If you're doing like 60 mile an hour in that lane, they'll stop you.
Really?
It's got to be over the speed limit because you got to go over the speed limit to pass somebody if you're going to pass them doing 65 or 70.
Right. Yeah, but the speed limit's 65 on I-65, isn't it? It's not 70 there, is it?
It's 70 or 75.
Once you get, I think, outside of Merrillville, on your way, Rensselaer area, after Lowell, that area, I think it goes up to 70. Okay. The toll road is 70.
Yeah.
But all right. No, as long as you stay in the left-hand lane, don't drive erratic.
Mm-hmm.
You can just cruise right along doing that 75, 80 mile an hour.
But you don't go back into the middle lane then after you pass? You just stay in the left-hand lane?
No, as long as you stay in that lane, it's clear. You're okay.
I think
it's strictly a speed lane and a passing lane only.
Okay. Yeah, but I thought...
If you're going in that lane only doing 65 mile an hour in that lane, the state trooper will pull you over.
Sure, but
because you're going too slow.
Right, of course. But what Pam has heard, and I've heard stories on, is them not wanting you to just sit in that left-hand lane the whole time. They want you to get back over and keep that left-hand lane for a passing lane. So I'm worried you're playing a little roulette with that.
Passing only, but if you're going at a speed that nobody else is, and you know you're not slowing somebody down behind you, unless you got some guy doing over 100 mile an hour, then they'll probably ticket you. But you know, I'm just saying, if you're driving around, 75, 80 mile an hour, just driving in their left-hand lane. They won't bother you.
All right, Bill. I appreciate you calling in and letting us know. Thank you, and have a safe weekend and a safe next time you drive down, and be careful. 630 says, I had a 1996 Ford Ranger that had 403,000 miles on it.
Wow! I respect that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Engine finally blew last year. Got a new charger. As a mechanic, I can say with that kind of high mileage, it's really not worth fixing big items like that.
Oh, no.
So that's his advice
for
it.
You're killing me.
Sorry. See, now he's a mechanic, so he can just keep fixing it at cost.
I just need to, I need to, just become a mechanic.
Can you imagine if you were a mechanic, a plumber, and somebody who could fix the house, you wouldn't pay for anything in life?
I'm close. I don't really touch plumbing jobs, and I really don't touch electric that much, but I fix pretty much everything else. I fix my furnace.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
And I'm probably really dangerous, right?
I would, that's, you know, no,
but
the
I have an uncle in heating and air, and he is okay, well, a tech, and good. Every now and then he'll come back in town and check it, and he's like, oh my gosh, you're pretty good. You want to come work for me? I'm like, yeah no.
That's
I don't
good.
Like high temperature, extreme highs, and extreme lows. So, yeah, that wouldn't work.
I don't love messing with the furnace. Now, I have in the past, like, you know, the burners, and you clean off the filaments and stuff like that and do stuff. I've done that stuff. The one thing I won't, anything that has to do with the gas in the house makes me really nervous. Like, I don't want to mess with the gas. Ever.
Well, see, I don't have that. I live so far in the Indiana Dunes that there is no natural gas.
Oh, really? It's yes. only electric in the
it's
house?
It's only actual oil. It's almost like it's like diesel fuel.
How does that work? Explain that to me.
You buy it, you dump it in a tank, it burns.
That's how your furnace works? You have to dump oil into it?
There's a tank. There's like a 500-gallon tank.
Get out of here. You have a 500-gallon tank of fuel in your house?
Not in my house.
Outside of the
near
house?
Near my house.
Is it like...
So, but it's not where you can see it.
Well, where is it at? Is it in a shed
you know
or
what?
Behind
People
some bushes?
People are going to come looking for this tank. There's only so much I'm telling on the radio.
Well,
dude.
You're the one that just said you're deep
yeah,
in the
but
dunes.
It's all, yeah, it's underground. It's way deep underground. Kind of like a septic tank is underground.
Nope. And so it's got like a spout that comes out that you fill from?
Yes.
And how do you know when it's getting empty? Does it have a gauge on it of
Yo,
some sort?
Heat turn off. No, I'm joking.
When it gets cold, I refill it.
Well, you know, that's the thing I like about it because, you know, when I buy, say I buy 100 or, you know, by the month or 200 or 300 gallons, I, you know, have a stick. I can measure it. And every month I measure it at least.
So is it like a huge yardstick or longer mm-hmm. that you have to stick
oh,
down there?
Oh, way longer. Yeah.
Well, so I grew up
it's
in...
It's way taller than me. A lot of things are way taller than me, though.
So I grew up in Northwest Indiana, and my first job was filling... was at an Amoco station, mm-hmm. and I would pump gas. And when the guys would come to refill... Or no, what was it? At
yeah,
the end
like
of every
that
day,
stick.
In the morning, we would have to measure how much gas was left. We mm-hmm. had this, like, 20-foot-tall stick...
That's the stick.
...that we had to lower down there and then see, you know, how far was it wet to. And then...
Yep.
And you got to go out and do that, like, how often? Like, once
you know,
a month? Or?
Once a month. Or, like, I like the, you know, right now, it's unfortunately the gas prices for me have gone way, way up. When I first bought the house, which is the house that I grew up in, natural gas was much more expensive than my fuel was. And mm-hmm. so it was, you know, a pretty good
deal.
But then it flipped. And so now I'm paying through the nose. Mm. The problem is if I want natural gas, then I've got to pay for
all the insulation,
all these hookups and
else, yeah.
rip up my yard and rip up the street. And I'm just not into all that right now.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Well, that sounds like it is a big expense.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I can measure, you know, I can think in my head how much is a gallon and how long is it going to take me to burn this gallon if it's that cold outside. I can kind of figure that out. I don't know about therms and
sure.
I know what the calculation is because we used to have to do news stories on it. But, like, I can't tell you how many therms I'm burning and how much that means I'm going to pay at the end of the month.
How do you get the fuel? Do you have to go buy it or somebody
delivers
it?
No, somebody delivers it.
And so do you have to do
a
minimum amount?
I can buy some in a pinch
you
to get
can
me through.
Go?
Yeah,
where
I can
at?
Go at the gas station.
Wait, what kind of fuel is it?
I can stretch it with diesel fuel. Why am I talking about this? I'm going to have regulated.
Is it literally running on diesel fuel or are you supposed to have a different type of fuel?
It is much like diesel fuel. They're very close. I think the fuel that I buy from the gas station is much cleaner because it's made, you know, in compliance with all the emissions testing that goes on. It's much cleaner. Someday I'll go all green and just have, you know, geothermal. That would be really
that
nice.
Would be
I'd
cool
love
to
do that. If I could find a company that would do it, that'd be great.
I'd love to put like solar panels in the house, have some wind things. Like they have small wind turbines for houses
Me too.
And stuff like that. That would be really cool
Me
to
too.
Do. All right, I got to take a quick break. We got to do the news. We'll keep talking more about this and your calls as well. Thanks for jumping in, everybody. Help us get through the night in Roger's absence. 312-981-7200. Pam Jones is in the newsroom. Jess is behind the glass. She'll answer the phone when you call or text us, 312-981-7200. Coming up, the stories that matter with Pam Jones from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. It is 2 o'clock in the morning here at 720 WGN. During that commercial break, sorry. Jess said something off air and got me all confused. I can see people. Pam, I'm always fascinated with the building across the street from us. Your button is still on there.
Really?
Stuck here. Something stuck, Jess.
Me?
What is it? No, Jess.
Oh, okay.
Something stuck. Anyways, thank you. That's off now. The building across the street from this studio that I'm in. So it's one block west of us. It's an apartment building or a condo building. And I can see in all these you know, whoever's got lights on, you
can see.
Is
it the wavy one?
No.
No.
The wavy one is south of us.
Okay.
So this is right on the river, just straight west of us.
I'll just run in there really quick right now and look.
Come on in.
Okay.
And so there's lights and everything of all these buildings and condos and whatever. And I like looking in there. Pam's really running in. I better not throw it to this. And I like looking in sometimes during the breaks because it's the middle of the night and you can kind of see whoever's got their lights on. And I see somebody is sitting at a desk. Looks like they're working on a computer, which is great, but it's 2 a.m. What are they doing? Are they writing a book? Are they working on a report that they didn't finish? What are they doing? I'm so curious. So just while we were in the commercial, I sat there with my flashlight on my phone and I just tried to like kind of SOS them and try to get their attention. I'm just flashing a light and seeing if they'll respond and like wave. I want somebody to wave, but I couldn't get their attention. Pam, did you ever see the movie Rear Window, the Hitchcock movie?
No.
Oh, you need to see that movie. In the movie, Jimmy Stewart is—he's a journalist. He's a photojournalist or something, and he's got a broken leg, so he's trapped in his apartment for like 2 weeks. It's back in like the '40s, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got that full body leg cast on, and so he's just sitting. He lives. His apartment building is like a courtyard with other buildings, so he can see just like this in all these other apartments. And he thinks he sees a murder happen, but he can't do anything. And so it's this great. And I'm always like caught up in like, what's going on in their lives? What are they doing? Why are all their lights on at 2 a.m? Did they just get home? Are they just going out? Are they just staying out? And see a few floors down, you can see that person sitting at a computer desk. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to flashlight my battery, like flash my phone light at them and see if I could get their attention. I'm going to get somebody before the end of the show. We'll see if we can make that happen. Text from 816 says, hey, Matt and Pam, first, I just hit 1 million miles on my 2008 Honda Civic. Replaced the tranny at 500,000 miles. I drive it 2,000 miles a week now. Matt, did you ever see the movie, title escapes me, that had Greg Kinnear as the guy who invented intermittent wipers, and he got ripped off by the big automakers? Heading back to KC from St. Louis, listen to the whole show every week, really enjoy it. Thank you so much for checking in. I appreciate that. I don't know that movie. I like Greg Kinnear movie. Oh, did you get somebody to wave? What are you looking at, Jess? No. Here, right here. Right here in the middle. See, like 4 floors down from us, there's somebody sitting at a computer desk. There's just one light on one of their windows. Or 5 floors down. Straight ahead from you. They're leaning back right now. See them? All right, I'll explain to you. Wait till Pam gets back in her chair. We'll throw it to the news. Jess is trying to figure out the lives of the people across, and we'll try to get a hold of them if we can. We have to find out the address of that building so we can say it so they could go, somebody listening, wait a minute, that's my building. And maybe they'll wave to us. That would be cool. 312-981-7200 is the number. Later in the show, we're going to get into the Jussie Smollett situation. That was a crazy, crazy week with that and a lot of different op-eds. And John had Kim Fox on. I want to replay a little bit of that later on in the show. The Boeing Airline 737 MAX is getting crazy. A mom of a kid at Notre Dame University complaining about girls wearing leggings to mass. All sorts of craziness in the world. 312-981-7200 is the number. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekdays at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. A little bit after 2 in the morning, let's get the news now with Pam Jones. Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you. 720 WGN to 11 a.m. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Before the news, I was telling you I was creeping on the people across the street, trying to look in this. I saw somebody at a desk, and I'm trying to flashlight at him. Texter says, Matt, this time of the morning, it's either a video game or porn. I hadn't thought of that. And now their lights are out. So apparently, whatever it was, they reached the level they needed, and now they've moved on.
Reached the level they needed.
On the video game.
Oh,
Or whatever
yeah,
they were doing.
Yeah, that.
Oh, Pam. I haven't heard you mention the NCAA. Do you, Pam, do you have a bracket going?
My team was out in their first game,
who was your team?
Can you guess?
Indiana?
Northwestern.
Oh, Northwestern. Okay. Okay.
So then my interest level, pew.
Well, Northwestern didn't even make it to a game.
Right? I mean, like.
Yeah, they had a rough season.
Yeah, well, we always do, so I'm used to it.
So you didn't fill out a bracket? You didn't try to
partake
in
anything?
Didn't
even participate, nope.
Not even bothering, huh?
Nope.
I understand. I understand. I was I got to check. I was doing pretty good in the pool that I'm in, which is awesome considering, like, my buddy who's totally good about gambling and things like this really takes his time and learns he's in last place in the pool. And I filled it out, like, in 40 seconds, just like, oh, this. I think the people that probably do the best at these things are ones that put almost no thought into them.
I agree.
You either go by colors or I like that team name or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah. I can remember the one time that I really played, I won like that. I just chose based on colors. Yep.
And was it some actual cash? Was it a little payoff?
No. Pat on the back. Mm-hmm.
That's no fun.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Nope. But I guess at least you didn't spend to get into it. So there's that.
Well, yeah, what you said.
So airline flights has been a little shanky lately for people because of the whole 737 MAX thing. There was a story today that there was a United Airlines flight diverted after a strong odor left passengers feeling ill. So I see that headline. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Let's print that out. And because I'm assuming it's going to be a passenger that created some problem, right? But really, it was a ventilation issue on a 737, but not a MAX, because those, of course, are grounded right now. And it was a ventilation system having to do, it was a smell of fuel odor, and it was strong enough, and it got stronger as they got in the air that they landed the plane and, you know, put them on another plane and stuff like that. But it made me think, because I thought this is where the story was going, it was about a passenger. Have you ever been on a plane, Jess or Pam, where there was a passenger that you were just like, oh my gosh, how do you get on a plane to do this? Whether it's people taking off their shoes or just having a body odor. I was on a flight back, so we have to go to conferences a few times a year to veterinary conferences for my production company. And Jim and I were on a flight back, Jim who works with me, and we sit together and we always sort of like a draw straw system. One of us has to fly in the middle, right? Because there's two of us, we fly together, so we're going to sit next to each other. He likes the window seat, I like the aisle seat. So generally, one way or another, he'll get a window one way, and then he's got to take the middle in the next. And so I always ask him, do you want middle on the way there, or do you want it on the way back? And it's always kind of a Russian roulette on who's going to sit next to you. So we're on the way back, and he has middle, and he's always, of course, hoping, you're always hoping that a, you know, pretty woman sits next to you and strikes up a conversation, you have a fun flight home. And that never has ever happened even once. But you just hope that, you know, it's a comfortable flight. We had a person sit next to us who, they wore a surgical mask. And sometimes you see people doing that because they're afraid of germs or whatever, whoever, right. you never know. But this gentleman had his surgical mask on. He sits down and about 4 minutes before we take off, Jim starts like making faces. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, this guy smells so bad. And I'm like, oh, really? And I just start laughing because I can't smell it. And he chose this flight home to have this. And I'm lucky I won the Russian roulette of the flight. And so I'm just laughing about it. I'm like, oh, that's a shame. And he's like dying. I mean, he's literally dying. I at one point put my phone down by my knee and aimed it up at my friend and recorded so you could see him like going like to his nose, like with his hands, like sort of like he's, you know, you cover your face, like you're like when you do that, but he's just trying to cover his nose the whole time because he's dying. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, oh, how bad could this be? What's wrong with you? You're such a wuss. About 10 minutes into the flight, it finally makes its way over to me like a punch in the face. It smelled like
death.
Chinese food that somebody had urinated on.
Oh my goodness.
It was.
Ew.
It was bad.
That is a terrible description.
Thank you, but that's what I thought of. It was like a weird fried rice, beef and broccoli covered in urine. It was strong and it lingered. And I just caught like a little whiff at first. I'm like, oh God, that is bad. And then it went away. So I thought, all right, I'm fine. Jim's dying. He is dying next to this guy. About 15 minutes in, it's encompassed. It's in the filtrations. It's like, it's surrounding us. It's so bad. I'm reading, I don't know if I have a Vanity Fair, I have some magazine with me. And you know how a lot of times, especially in Vanity Fair, I remember they've got the thick like perfume cards and stuff, or the cologne cards. I tore one of those out, and I tore it up, and like it's got, you know, it was sticking in the magazine, so it's got some stickiness to it on like one part of it. I tore that and stuck it under my nostrils so that all I could smell was this cologne.
You did not.
I honest to God
I like
did.
That MacGyver in absolutely. You. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I did that for about 20 minutes to try to get through it because it was that bad.
Did he say anything? Or?
He didn't speak English, really.
Okay.
And he wasn't talking. He went to sleep and he just, I don't know if he'd been traveling forever or what the story was, but it was bad. As we're landing, so we got a 3-hour flight with this, that Jim's just dying the whole time. As we're landing, the gentleman wakes up and he starts asking Jim questions. So now he's leaning.
He didn't speak English.
Well, he's trying to speak English and ask him about where we're landing. And he's like showing Jim a piece of paper. He's got to catch a connecting flight to Chicago or get to somewhere in Chicago. I forget what it was, but he's talking to Jim. So he's leaning in Jim. He keeps turning back to it, which makes it, you know, even 10 times worse. And Jim looks at me. He's like, literally, are we on candid camera? This could not get worse. That this guy is literally, now he's engaging with me and he needs to talk to me and I'm trying to help him. And oh man, it was in the 12 years Jim and I have been traveling these things together, this is the most outlandish thing we ever had happen on a plane. Just, it was amazing. It was like you picture Pigpen in the Peanuts cartoons. He's just got that cloud of smoke always around him, or of dust. That was the aura of this gentleman and his smell. I mean, it was amazing. And when you read stories about a plane landed because of a passenger, this or that, I think of that flight. Like, this could have been one of those flights where someone's like, we just can't do that. We can't all be in the air with this going on. We're not going to make it.
Maybe he just had some Chinese food right before he got on the flight.
And that he urinated on?
Maybe he had not washed his clothes. Maybe he was traveling.
Well, that might have been it. I don't know. But it was not just like, you know, there's like, oh, I'm sorry, you were working out, you smell a little bit. There's that. There's I've been traveling, I'm just a little stale. You know, we all have that from time to time, right? This was like, I've been traveling for 2 weeks and forgot to use washrooms, so I've just been doing that within my garments. You know, I mean, that's what it really, that's what it was. It was bad.
I got nothing there.
Whew. Mom.
I've only had one weird pass. Well, not weird, but they fell asleep on my shoulder.
That's embarrassing.
Did they slobber too?
A little bit.
Ew.
Literally? So you're so nice, Jess. You just let them sleep on your shoulder, didn't you? You didn't give them the shoulder nudge to get them off you?
I could have moved. Really?
Because it was so heavy on their head was so heavy on you, you couldn't move? You're just too nice.
But I kind of like wiggled my way out of it.
Yeah, that's what the elbows are made for. God intended elbows to jab that person next to you if they're leaning on your shoulder. I mean, that's a breach of etiquette.
And then I made Stefan switch spots with me.
Your boyfriend's on the plane and you're allowing this to happen?
And then he did. And then I got the window seat and it was fine.
God, that's brutal.
And this is in, like, very limited airplane experiences.
Yeah, that's right. You just flew for the first time while you've been producing this show. I remember you talking about it, right?
I went to California.
Yeah. I know that, like, when I sleep, sometimes I'll snore pretty loud, the kids will tell me. And there have been times I've fallen asleep on planes and Jim is dying because I'll be like really just letting it go. Sometimes he'll throw an elbow into me. Sometimes he just sits there and laughs as people are looking at me as I'm tearing it up. But
that's a true friend.
Yes. Oh, believe me. Our goal is never to let the other one avoid embarrassment. It's to get the phone out and start recording, like, as it's happening.
So who has more ammo on each other?
Oh, Jim would by far. I do embarrassing things all the time. I trip over stuff. I fall asleep. I spill stuff like crazy. We were on a flight before, you know, generally when I'm drinking Diet Coke, I like to have a Diet Coke on the plane,
right.
But I don't like, you know, they give you, you pour a little cup of it or there's just a little bit. And, you know, sometimes if I'm having a snack or whatever, I want more. So I'll buy sometimes in the airport concession, a bottle of Diet Coke, you know, the bigger plastic bottle. Something you should know for all you kids out there. If you're flying and you buy the plastic liter of Coke or Diet Coke or whatever soda, carbonated beverage, when your plane takes off into the air and it pressurizes, that puts a lot of pressure on that bottle. You always have to open the bottle and then close it before you take off, because if you don't, that will be contents under pressure. And so we're flying and I open up this bottle and it was like champagne. It was like, take off all over my jeans. I mean, I was soaked in freaking Diet Coke for a 3-hour flight because I did that. And he enjoyed that quite a bit. He laughed pretty hard at that one. And I laughed too after I dried. It was annoying.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. So now whenever I do that, I open it up before we take off and then just reclose it. But it lets that pressure out. Otherwise, it builds up.
Didn't the stewardess give you any napkins or anything?
They are flight attendants, not stewardesses.
I'm sorry.
You know, they're not necessarily around at the time because they, you know, I did this right away. They're not, the cart doesn't come out for a good 20 minutes into the flight. So I think I just sat there in my own Diet Coke like a boy who had wet his pants.
Some people sit there in their own Diet Coke. Some people sit there in other things.
Yeah. Well, like that guy next to us on that other flight.
Ew. I really hope he didn't do that.
Well, I hope not too, but.
I had a cab driver. I know we were talking about flights, but I got into a cab here in downtown Chicago. We were going up north to a bar and like way north. And he smelled like he did. Like, you know how there's number one and number two? He was number question mark in his seat. Honest to God.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that we just got out.
Oh, really? You didn't even complete the ride.
Yeah, we just got out in Uptown, and we were just like, I don't know where I am, and we are slightly inebriated, but I'm just going to find something else, because I will literally
Here's a dark alley in a questionable area. You smell that bad that we're getting out here and just taking our chances.
Oh, right here? But we haven't found the bar, ma'am. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's
here
okay.
Here is your money. Let me out.
We will find a bar or another cab, but. Yeah. But you never, I mean, the tough part is you never want to, because you didn't say anything, right? You didn't say, I'm sorry, but you smell too bad for me to actually be in. It's the toughest thing is like, do they realize that? Do they realize that's why you're jumping out? Or do you, because generally, general politeness is you're not going to say, by the way, I'm ending this cab ride early because you really reek.
I'm calling 311.
Side note.
I got a biohazard emergency in this cab. Because what bothers me is, I wonder, like, what is the scientific, what scientifically could tell me whether or not I'm actually breathing in their, like, germs and, like, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't like to inhale that, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. My guess is when it's a noxious fume like that, it's not germs, it's just odor, right?
Saying, like, there's got to be something else I'm breathing in.
See, you got to start bringing that surgical mask like that other guy. I wonder if that other guy smelled so bad that he thought it was the world around him, so he started wearing the surgical mask so he wouldn't smell himself.
Now, I do bring, I bring like long scarves, and I wrap up my whole head almost when I get on a plane. Because,
do you really? Because you're worried about the...
I used to get really angry because certain airlines would always serve peanuts. It seemed like they always served gassy foods, gassy snacks. And so everybody on the plane has gas.
What gassy snacks are they serving? Are they serving
peanuts? Peanuts.
Is that
make
a gassy snack? It does.
Yes, they do.
I never knew
and
that.
It makes me angry. Can you tell?
Yes, a little bit. Here, I thought you had a peanut allergy. No, it's
not about
the allergies.
Not the peanut allergy.
I don't care about those people.
It's about
I don't want the
my
gas.
Nostril health.
I have never heard in my life that peanuts give people gas. Are you sure about that?
I'm trying to tell you. Yes, they do. And the other thing that makes people smell is going to, have you ever noticed that the people who go to the airplane restrooms always smell like the inside of the toilet when they come past?
Oh, see,
I cannot sit on the aisle. I can't.
I love the aisle. And I'd like to get up and use the washroom at one point during the flight.
See,
I'm dead serious. I like to get up because you really should be stretching your legs. It's bad for your circulation to sit the entire time. You're supposed to get, you know, you could clot. You don't want that. And I get nervous about that. So I try to get up during a long flight at least once and just walk up and down the aisle. And I feel bad. Now I'm worried that I'm coming back smelling like a airplane bathroom.
Yeah, you probably smell like Depends, right? No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking.
Man.
All right, I'm done. I won't do that anymore. I'm joking. To the people who are listening, I'm not really a nasty person. It's just that nasty things really annoy me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I was talking about the pressure on the Diet Coke on the plane. 870 writes, Bic lighters have the same problem with air pressure. Back in the 90s, when I was working as a flight instructor, one blew up in a student's pocket. Ouch. Well, now you can't even take those on a flight, so... Or you shouldn't, right? Yeah, I'm sure that they confiscate lighters.
Not.
Well,
I can't imagine they allow them if you're going through TSA and you've got a lighter on you. I'm sure they say no.
You'd be surprised at some of the stuff that gets through.
Well, I'm sure things get through, but I'm sure if you said, "Oh, I've got my Bic lighter," they would say, "No, you can't have your Bic lighter."
I've got to check my bags a lot better, you know, because I got stuff that I carry around every day in my bags that should definitely not go on the plane and has gone on the plane.
Are you packing
and I get
heat?
Where, no, not oh. like that. I know better than that. First of all, I can carry in Indiana. I can't carry here, so I don't do that. But it's other stuff, like the lighter, you know, every now and then I might
have a
lighter.
Well, let me ask you about that, Pam. So you have a concealed, is Indiana concealed carry?
Yes, it is.
But and you, Illinois yeah, is too, but you would you be able to get a second license here? Would you have to do that, or are you not allowed as a non-resident?
I haven't been that interested in carrying over here, but, you know, the people that I ask casually, there are some who tell me I could get licensed, mm-hmm. partly because of what I do for a living, but I don't think so because I don't have a residency here, you know? So I don't know.
See, that's interesting because if you work here and you're here all the time because of that, if you're going to have the law, you'd think you'd have it for whoever's here.
Yeah. But there are a lot of things that you can't get. Like
yeah.
the police media credentials that are for your vehicle,
mm-hmm.
they require that you have an Illinois plate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I just fake those too. Take that. No, I'm joking. Totally joke. And now I don't have a car, so no, you guys can't bust me for anything because I don't have a car.
Oh, Pam, you're nothing but trouble. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got news coming up here in a second. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. 720 WGN. 2:37 in the morning here on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up all night with us, everybody. Hope you're staying warm wherever you're at. It looks like the rain has died down. Well, I can't really tell from up here, but it looks like it's died down a little bit. Certainly traffic has died down. Stay warm if you're traveling. Stay safe if you're traveling. Cozy up in bed if you're at home. I just had a cup of hot cocoa. It was delicious out of the machine here. You were saying, this is why I order pizza at 3 in the morning. Because it kind of gives you that pickup, you know? Because you get to about halfway through this. And you're like,
you know where else it picks up? On my hips. I can't. I got to stop this. I can't use anymore. This is an excuse.
That's why Roger made us quit doing that. Oh, Jess has a confession to make. Uh-oh. What's your confession, Jess?
So, since we started our pizza ordering trend.
When we ordered or when we stopped ordering?
No, when we did.
Okay.
I was immediately hungry, but then I'm like, pizza.
Yeah.
Now that we don't eat pizza, I am so hungry.
Yeah.
All the time.
It really is. And when it's not here, you miss it. Because you barely ate any. Whenever we had it, you would have maybe a slice or two, right? You were really good about it. I'd be eating 6-7 pieces, and you'd have like one or two, right?
We should have just started to get like the medium size. That would have been like perfect.
Probably maybe even a small.
Yes, possibly.
We would have felt better about that.
But even like through the weeknights,
mm-hmm.
I'll wake up at 2 in the morning and I'm like, I need to be up in like 2 hours, but pizza sounds really good.
Do you
good
get
right
up
now.
At 4 in the morning on weekdays?
Sometimes, yeah.
For
I
work?
Have to.
Mm-hmm.
Oy, oy, oy. Really?
I commute an hour.
Me too.
What time do you have to be at work, though?
Me?
You, both of you. Where are you going?
You first, Jess.
Bolingbroke, usually, but it depends on where I gotta go.
But what time do you have to be there?
Well, if I gotta be there at like 7, then I have to wake up.
Okay, all right. So I get that then.
But most of the time, they're pretty flexible.
But wait a minute. Do you leave before 6?
Yeah.
What time do you leave?
Well, like 5:45-ish, sometimes.
Take you an
six.
Hour and 45 minutes to get ready?
No.
You said you get up at 4.
Okay, 5. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Now it feels better. What about you, Pam?
Well, I really should be out the door by 4, but sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to wake up at 4 and wear pajamas to work. I really don't care. Like, I'm not trying to be cute. It's too early. So, yeah, I commute an hour, and I've got to be here. You know, my shift starts at 5:30.
Where are you at during the week, Pam?
Here.
You're here?
Mm-hmm.
At WGN?
I work an early morning shift, yes.
Okay.
And I do some news. I do news briefs on 87.7 MeTV
sure.
FM.
So wait, are you on during Rob's business? What's the morning business show?
Oh.
I can't even think about it now. Oh, the opening bell?
It's actually, it is Steve Grzanich.
Right.
Yes. And I'm here, but I'm not on WGN radio usually, except for my stories. When I write news stories, you'll hear my taped voice. Yes.
All right. So, yeah, you're coming in from the dunes.
Yes. And then sometimes, you know, when we didn't have a permanent afternoon traffic reporter, I was then working a double and working her shift, too.
You were just hanging out here, though, right? You weren't
pretty much
home.
This was home, and I've made this my own little suite because really, I could never afford a place like this down here.
Yeah,
it's got a shower. What we could add, though, is like a nice little pizza oven. Wouldn't that be nice, you guys?
That
like,
would be nice.
We need something to actually heat up pizza the right way.
We have showers.
Yeah, there's a shower. There's a shower. I'll show you.
But you could also go down to the workout room and shower there if you wanted to.
But
right?
Not during off-peak hours, though.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's only open, I'm told, during the week.
During normal hours?
Yeah. Business hours, pretty much.
Interesting.
Todd goes down there, like, really early in the morning.
Yeah.
Where are the showers?
At the end of this long hallway, like, if you go out the back door here.
But, like, outside by the elevators, right?
Like, yes.
And so it's not within
the glass doors. If you pass the glass doors
and then keep going down the hall, you'll pass the elevators down the hall.
To the left. Pass the elevators, pass the glass doors and the elevators, keep going until you run into a dead end. It's on the left. You'll see a door.
You know how just when you and I walk out, we walk past bathrooms before we get to the elevator?
Keep going.
If you kept going down the hall, there's another set of bathrooms, but there's a shower.
Just one. There's just one bathroom and there's two showers in it. Now that I don't understand.
Oh. So wait, there's two. So when you go in there to shower,
can you lock the door? Yes,
okay,
and there, you'll see a little sign, almost like the one on the air. Like, it used to be on the old school airplanes. It said vacant, and then
not vacant.
Yeah, occupied or whatever. Occupado. Yeah.
Well, it took me like 3 weeks to figure out where the mailbox was. So
yeah, it's right before you go to that mail area.
Wait, there's a mailbox out there?
There's a mail.
Yeah.
Like a mail drop?
She might be talking about something different.
Yeah, you guys are confusing me.
Right?
She was talking about the mail area here by the kitchen, where we have the little cubbies.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a supply room, and is also where Marlene takes in the mail and sorts it. You can get pens and papers and notebooks in there, and it's also a lactation room for those of us who need that.
Really?
There's a chair. You know how you go stay in the hospital and there's that one uncomfortable chair that kind of reclines and you cannot possibly sleep in it?
That's in our lactation/supply room/overnight suite room. I would have thought that you would just hole up in the PPG paint screen room because we have such nice couches and stuff in there.
Yeah, but it's so open.
It is a little bit open.
And there's windows, kind of like the hotels.
Yeah, but it's looking out.
Where you see all
the...
Oh,
they could look in.
Could look in.
Yeah, I guess you got that going on.
But that room is great for headshots. I took some great headshots in that room.
In the paint? In
selfie
the PPG
headshots.
Painter?
Yep, I do selfie headshots all the time.
Okay.
Terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
Not terrible at all.
That room... Oh, and also just for sleeping, Club 720 is where a lot of people hang out to sleep because it has a door now and the glass is frosted.
Wow, there you go.
All the little secrets you need to know.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know.
All the overnight secrets.
Yeah.
I need to get more involved with these.
Yeah.
We need to take a selfie together.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll have to get one before we get out of here.
Oh, right? Then that means I got to go put on my face. I got to do all of this. Because this is 5 o'clock in the morning makeup.
Well, Matt usually sees me like this, like every weekend. And then I usually, if I nap, sometimes I'm like, Matt, there's a good chance you may see me look somewhat homeless when I come
right?
in. Or like... messy hair, pajamas.
Jess is really bad about taking naps before she comes in.
Matt gets all of it, so.
Okay. Great.
Jess will just be like double-fisting monster all night long to get through the show.
I just would just die for a Mountain Dew right now. I'm holding on to the edge of the countertop.
We don't even have, are there even
right.
machines
there are no vending
anywhere
machines.
In the building?
That is another
nowhere?
Thing that we need.
Like,
no,
not even down in the lobby or underneath or anywhere?
No, because during the day, we have a little convenience store down there.
Right.
And then there's also Dunkin' Donuts and then El Jardin, which makes really good Mexican food, quick Mexican food. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so rarely ever down here during the week. I don't know all these things.
You need to come just browse.
I could just browse.
Yeah, I know you have other things to do, but you need to, like, just browse the pet.
Just come and browse the food and
The Pedway, because there's so many options.
I have been down there, and there is a lot down there. Yeah, I was down there with Steph for lunch once, and I was like, wow, there's a whole world down here.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen, I'll die if either of you say you haven't, because if you watch TV at all, it seems unavoidable right now. Orange vanilla Coke.
I've seen it.
No.
Oh my God. The commercials are endless right now.
I do not want to taste it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm watching this commercial going, who asked for this? Who's dying for, you know what would be great? Are they sitting around? There's a million flavors of everything now, right? That's been the thing in the last year between chips and sodas. They've got diet lime. They've got lime. They've got this. They've got cherry. You know, there's like 8,000 different flavors of every Coke or Pepsi or whatever it is. But now it's like they decided, you know what? Let's put every dollar we have behind orange vanilla Coke, which I've never heard of before. And the way they do the commercial, they've got an orange truck racing down the street with a Coca-Cola truck and what looks like an ice cream truck with a big vanilla cone on top. And so it doesn't make, you know, it's interesting because to me, vanilla ice cream is different than just like vanilla, like you might add into an ingredient of like you're making cookies or whatever. And so when I see this and I see the vanilla cone, I'm thinking of like a, I guess of sort of like a root beer float. Like this is going to be an orange Coke float taste. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the type of thing like, who was asking for this? What was the meeting where they said, hey, what if we did this? Because like there's some things like Cherry Coke, I think, was a thing before Coca-Cola made Cherry Coke, right? It was like the way they used to mix it in like a soda fountain or things like that. I think that was always out there was Cherry Coke. But orange vanilla, I'm wondering, like, was there a segment of the country where somebody started doing that and it kind of took off and they said, hey, this is a huge hit. We're going to make this a national thing. Or is this just a case of people sitting around going, I don't know, what are we going to, what the hell, how about orange vanilla? Oh, okay. And then they throw everything behind that? It's the type of thing I don't think anybody was asking for. You're trying to create a need where there isn't one. And I think this is going to be a new Coke disaster for them. Kind of like the movie Dumbo that's coming out. Have you seen that there is a live action Dumbo coming out?
Okay, like,
you can't compare the two.
I think I can.
First of all.
Has anybody in their life ever said, you know what I'd like to see? Dumbo. But instead of a cartoon, let's make live people in it. That would be something. Who's asking for that? That's going to flop.
Me, so, Matthew.
Are you serious, Jess? Do you love the Dumbo story?
For real?
Why not?
Wait.
Okay.
Do you know the story of Dumbo?
It's an elephant that flies.
That's all you know?
Yes.
Okay, that's what anybody knows. So it's not like you know the story. Or we're yearning for more, or else you would have learned it by now, or watched the cartoon version of the movie.
And they have a ride at Disney.
That's true. I do like that ride at Disney.
I tried to go on it several times, but they're like, you're too tall. No, thank you.
Really?
Bye.
Oh, is it just for little kids?
Oh, they so let me on.
What?
We got to stand up next to each other. Like, they so let me on. Do you not get on the teacups either?
No. I think I did go on like a, I want to say they let me on like a Winnie the Pooh one, but I think that was more like a roller coaster.
Maybe you needed to have a little kid with you. Now, I did have little kids. My nieces were with me. So maybe.
There you go. You need some little ones to sneak you on, Jess.
I'll have to talk to Stefan. But also, side.
That's how you're going to talk him into kids?
Wow.
You know, I can't get on the Dumbo ride if we just had a baby.
I can't get on the teacups. I just want to ride the teacups.
That's a millennial tricking somebody into a pregnancy right there.
Help me.
No, it's not.
My dream.
The modern version.
Don't bring millennials.
The modern version of tricking somebody into marriage.
Like, I just want to ride It's a Small World.
I got her pregnant because she wanted to ride Dumbo. I didn't know what was happening.
That's awesome.
Confused me.
Sounds like a bad Lifetime movie.
It does. Right? It does. You know, they have some openings now. Might be able to pitch that. But seriously, Jess.
Yes.
Do you really think anybody out there was like, you know what we ought to do? We ought to bring back Dumbo and starring Danny DeVito.
Why not?
Why not? Doesn't make it happen. Why not?
I have friends that do event sales at movie theaters, and they are expecting it to be very successful.
Are you serious? You get one of those friends on the show next week. I want to talk to them.
Okay.
There's no way Dumbo is making its money back. No.
It's going to be. Is it going to be rated D?
I hope so.
I assume.
But
a PG-13 Dumbo sounds weird to me.
That Danny DeVito.
Yeah, you think that's bringing in the kids?
That line. No, he kind of crossed that line. But
Yeah, I think the kid. I think I was going to say kids will watch anything that says it's for kids. You know what I mean?
But parents got to take them to it.
You
got to appeal to the parents.
Like, are you serious?
Also, orange vanilla Coke does not sound that bad. It sort of sounds like a dreamsicle.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. But thank you, a dreamsicle.
But there's Coke too, like the Coke flavor with the orange. Is it Coke too, or just called Coke because that's the company? Is there Coke?
No, it's Coca-Cola. It's Coca-Cola.
Oh, see, no, I don't want Coke and orange and cream. Yuck.
And I don't know if it's cream. But that sounds, the way that commercial goes, I would think, yes, that you're thinking that a dreamsicle, a Coca-Cola dreamsicle is what we have. But I would assume it wasn't, I don't know what to think. You know what, we'll have to get some.
But then
we'll
again,
next week to try.
You know, to Jess's point, you know, when you have the fountain, the array of fountain drinks together,
yeah,
so many people just put a little bit of everything in that cup. You know what I mean?
When we were kids, we'd call that a suicide.
Oh, we'd go to have a name for it. Okay.
Wherever it was, like at Long John Silver's or something, you get a drink and then you just fill it up with a little bit of everything. Yeah, we called it a suicide.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I did not know that had a name.
But
awesome.
it was kind of good. You're right. But there wasn't vanilla as one of the options.
Yeah.
Nor was there orange.
I'm dipping out on vanilla. I'm sorry. That's going a little
too
far.
But vanilla's in everything.
Yeah, but you don't taste it in everything, right? I mean, it's in everything, but you're not realizing you're tasting vanilla.
There's
vanilla
like
by itself is...
Cherry vanilla. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with doing orange?
Is there
vanilla?
Cherry vanilla Coke?
Yeah, there is.
There is?
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
I
either.
Just knew there was cherry Coke. Well, you know, if you go to the movie theaters are where I see it most, and some chains, they have those Coke machines now where you've got the touch screen where you can choose which Coke you want. So, like, it has the diet array of Cokes and Sprite in there, and it has the decaffeinated, and then it has the regular. And so under Diet Coke, like you could do lemon and lime and cherry and all these things, those are like the best Cokes you'll get because it's like the company itself is running it and the mix is perfect. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, you know, where you're not getting in a can or a bottle. And it's not and it's mixed with the syrup with the whatever the carbonated water is. And they don't mix it right, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The former Rock and Roll McDonald's that's been rebuilt down here
mm-hmm.
for the last 10 years. Because a lot of times in the morning, if I'm really tired when I leave, I would stop there and get a Diet Coke or get something to eat to help me, you know, on the way home. And they can't mix that for the life of them. They cannot get the mix right on the diet. Because usually my favorite place to get a Diet Coke was always McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. That McDonald's, they just don't do it right. And whether it's the Coke, the Diet Coke, Dr. Pepper, whatever it is, it's brutal.
You would think those things come with instructions, like.
You would, yeah. I don't know if they're saving money, or they just don't know what they're doing, or
and that's it.
What happens? But it drives me crazy. That's why I really love when you go to generally a Chinese or Japanese restaurant. I don't know why, but you order a Diet Coke or a Coke, they bring you out a can and a mm-hmm. glass of ice, and I love that because then you know it's going to be right.
Yeah. The fountain drinks are sometimes kind of messed up,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you never
like
know what
that.
You're going to get.
You never, because I, like I said, I'm a Mountain Dew fanatic, and like I've had some of this. I like that Mountain Dew Black or whatever. It's mm-hmm. really purple. But I'm telling you, I've gone to some gas stations where you try to get it out of that fountain, and you taste like, it tastes like Alka-Seltzer, and that's
it.
Yeah, and it just looks purple.
What is Mountain Dew Black?
I think it's called Pitch Black. I drink it so much, and I'm lacking in it right now, so I can't even remember the name, but it's pitch black. It's just purple Mountain Dew.
So is it a grape-flavored Mountain Dew?
You think it's great. You know how you look at something, you think it's going to be grape-flavored because it's purple?
Yes.
I think it's grape-flavored.
That was my daughter's science project this year for science fair. She put different colors in yogurt and then had people taste it to try to see what they thought it tasted like.
That is so cool.
It was all vanilla, but when they had the green one, they think it was lime, or the red one, they think it was cherry.
That's cool.
Yeah, it messes with your head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of science fair.
Yes.
I
have to tell that story, don't I? I will tell that after we check the news, which is coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Pam Jones here in just a couple minutes on 720 WGN.
Today.
Chicago.
Saturday baseball from Kansas City as the Sox take on the Royals. Andy Mazur with your pregame at 1240. Ed and TJ with the first pitch at 1:15.
Hey, Sox fans. Rick Renneria here. White Sox baseball plays here. 720 WGN.
Invest your tax refund in a kitchen renovation that will pay dividends for years to come.
Hi, I'm Tom Janke of The Edge Kitchen and Bath Showrooms with Lindsay of House Smarts Radio.
Tom, the kitchen is where people spend so much of their time.
I know, so make it incredible. Awesome. Let our top designers show you our gorgeous kitchen cabinets, countertops, and flooring. We can meet any design need and budget.
And Tom, you have the best professional designers. They listen to your needs and bring your dream kitchen to life on a giant screen.
And it's all free of charge. Book a free consultation today.
Plus, you have hundreds of gorgeous granite and quartz countertops.
And we'll install them in 10 days or less with complete customer satisfaction.
The Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom and Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road at 25th Avenue in Broadview. Or The Edge on 151st Street in Orland Park.
And online at edgekitchenandbath.com.
High-end look without the high-end price.
The Edge
Kitchen and Bath Showroom
from Builder Supply Outlet.
If you ever feel a fluttering in your chest, it might be a sign of an irregular heartbeat. Untreated, it could lead to more serious heart issues. But the doctors at Northwest Community Healthcare can get you back on track. Our nationally recognized cardiologists use state-of-the-art techniques to help get your heart back in sync. Learn more or schedule an appointment today at nch.org/flutter.
Real ID is a new federally required form of identification for people who fly domestically without a passport or visit secure federal facilities. Now, you won't need a Real ID to drive a car or get a bank account or adopt that cute golden doodle that you always wanted. But if you do choose Real ID, just follow these steps. First, visit a Secretary of State Driver Services facility to take a new photo. Make sure to bring a proof of identity and proof of Social Security number. You'll also need two proof of Illinois residency documents. During your visit, you'll receive a temporary paper license. Then you'll receive your new Real ID in the mail within 15 business days. Now, there's no rush. You have until October 1st, 2020 to get one. Just head on over to realid.ilsos.gov or call 833-503-4074 for more information. This message is brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office.
The numbers are in.
WGN Plus is where Chicago comes for podcasts.
Here's what's going on with WGN Plus. Behind the Curtain is getting starstruck with the national touring cast of Anastasia. Shypedia introduces a new app to break down the tech stigmas with Tip-Off. And Figure Facts is discussing Colon Cancer Awareness Month and foods that help prevent it. Everyone's got to eat, so you might as well eat the right stuff. Look them up. WGN Plus on iTunes and Google Play.
Again, welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm
258 720 WGN live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. I still get down to Miley in that song. I love that song. How old is that song? It's gotta be like at least 5 years old, isn't it? Minimum? No?
Oh, no. Way older than that.
Oh, is it really? Oh, God. I'm getting old. I still love that song.
Me too, because I don't even know that song.
You don't know that song?
No, not really down with Miley so much.
It's a party in the U.S.
Oh. 2009.
Oh, my wow. God. It's 10 years old?
Wow.
All right. In checking... Oh, man. My bracket. North Carolina lost? Crap. My bracket's not good. I had North Carolina in the finals.
97-80.
Doggone it. Man, they got killed. Who are they playing? Auburn. Look at Auburn go. Man. All right, I still got a decent amount left, but that's going to hurt me. That's going to hurt me. Let's see what my... I'm still in fifth place. My best score now, though, is 179. And the person with the best score is 219. We both have Duke as the eventual champion. Oh, but there's three people ahead of me who had North Carolina winning the whole thing. Bad night for them.
Okay, so I do bet on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Just go ahead and confess that.
Oh, I like that.
But like things like actual events, I guess because I have a good feeling for things.
Sure.
I'm a very, very spiritual person. And the year that Smarty Jones was so popular. I bet with one of my news producers in Omaha, Nebraska. I was so broke. I was like, he came to work and he said, "Hey, you want to bet with me? I'm going to go, you know, place a bet on the horses." And I'm like, "I don't know anything about horses. I don't want to read that newspaper and all that stuff about the mud and all that stuff." So he was like, "No, I'll take care of that. All you got to do is throw in." I was like, "All right, what's the buy-in?" He said, "I'm going to throw in $120. I'm like, "Well, that's all I have in the bank, and it's not enough to pay any of the bills I have right now. So guess what? Let it ride." I gave him the money, and guess what happened?
I hope he won.
We hit a superfecta.
Oh, get out of here.
For $20,000 right before my 5 p.m. newscast.
Wow.
I could barely anchor the news. You think I can't anchor the news tonight because I'm sleepy. I was just like,
oh my
over
gosh.
The moon.
I'll bet. So you walked
so
away with 10
the
grand?
Money. Yeah, we split the money and paid the taxes and
Look at that.
Yeah, but totally, I only bet because Smarty Jones was in it. And that's the reason why he asked me to bet because
so that was one of the
name,
names.
Because
of
my name, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's a big win.
Yeah, but like, and there are so many people who, you know what? We have a Chicago news anchor who's on CNBC right now for some reason. I don't know why, this late at night. That's really interesting.
Is it really live?
No, they're showing old clips of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so yeah, that's my one betting. That's the most money I've ever won betting. And I did it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
By not knowing anything about it. So there you go.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Hear everyone's favorite weatherman, Tom Skilling, weekday afternoons at 4 on The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. A couple minutes after 3, let's get the news now with Pam Jones.
Right now, it is 37 degrees with light rain at O'Hare. Chicago police are alerting the public about a robber who cut his victims with a knife during a struggle. Police say it happened in the 5300 block of Hyde Park Street. That would have been not yesterday, because yesterday was Friday, right? So Thursday at 7:20 a.m. Two people were hurt. Police say the attacker was wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, dark jeans, and a red bandana over his face. At President Trump's direction, the U.S. is cutting off all foreign assistance to Central American countries, blasting Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala for not doing enough to stop illegal immigration to the southern border. Late Friday, the State Department confirmed the end of foreign assistance to all three countries after the president hinted at the move earlier in the day.
We were giving them $500 million. We're giving them tremendous aid. We stopped payment to Honduras, to Guatemala, and to El Salvador.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says he plans to reintroduce a new version of his comprehensive immigration bill in the near future. He tells WGN's John Williams the president's take on what's happening at the southern border is an outrage.
Yes, it is a challenge. Yes, we're being overwhelmed with numbers. But to call this an invasion and a caravan, these folks are walking up, children in hand, and presenting themselves to people with uniforms. They are not trying to, you know, storm the border or invade, for goodness sakes.
In a tweet yesterday, the president ramped up his repeated threat to close the border by next week unless Mexico takes action on illegal immigration. Stay tuned. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Islanders in the Caribbean like to say that if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. Hi, I'm Rick Edelman, and that's great advice for the stock market, too. It's easy to get upset when the market falls, but what we have to remember is that this, too, shall pass. Now, that's easy to say, but sometimes it can feel hard to do. So in times like these, when stock prices are swinging wildly one day to the next, making you worry that your financial future might be at risk, here's the advice you need. Don't feel that you have to go it alone. I invite you to talk with one of my experienced financial planners at Edelman Financial Engines. Let's take a look at your investments and see if they're doing what you need and expect. We'll either reassure you that you're doing what you should be doing, or we'll give you recommendations to help you get the peace of mind you need so you can, well, wait for the sun to shine once again. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
Catchy tune? Sure. But I'm Steve Cochran, and there's a place where old cars give new hope without a clever jingle. The American Lung Association has real stories about real people. Like Paul Schoen, who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer that metastasized to his brain. It got so bad he was unable to walk or stand. He had brain surgery, chemo, and physical therapy, and thanks to research, he's feeling great. Real stories, not jingles. Donate your old car to help people like Paul. Call 800-LUNG-CARS or go to lungcars.org.
WGN Sports, the White Sox play at Kansas City today. The pregame at 12:40, the first pitch at 1:15 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on 720 WGN. The Blackhawks visit Los Angeles. The pregame with Chris Bowden at 9 o'clock, the faceoff at 9:30 with John Weideman and Troy Murray on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. In the NCAA, the Michigan State beat LSU 80-63. Auburn beat North Carolina 97-80. Duke over Virginia Tech 75-73. And Kentucky beat Houston 62-58. WGN traffic. Everything rolling along pretty smoothly on area highways and expressways. Looks like traffic is rolling along at posted speeds, except for on the Dan Ryan. There is a crash on the outbound side at the Stevenson. The right lane is blocked in that area. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Now the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. We're still getting some rain. The low around 38 degrees overnight. We'll get more rain later in the morning. Mostly cloudy and breezy with a high near 43 during the day today. Tonight, partly cloudy with higher winds and a low of about 23 degrees. Right now, it's 37 at O'Hare, 39 at Midway, 37 in Addison, and 37 at the Lakefront. I'm Pam Jones in the WGN Radio Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Matt Pavala here with you on 720 WGN. Pam, people are a little worried about you.
What?
People are worried.
Worried why?
Your Mountain Dew addiction.
You know what? It leads to rotten teeth. And that
well,
is so true.
There's that.
Look at my smile. It's like all jacked up. No, not really. My dentist told me that my teeth look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, all rotten.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
No, not at all.
708 says, Mountain Dew should be banned. 20 fluid ounces, a normal bottle of regular Mountain Dew, has 77 grams of sugar.
And so tasty.
77 grams.
But, you know, I typically only drink Diet Mountain Dew. I drink the Mountain Dew, which is also bad for you. I realize that.
Jess, will you look up like what
the Pitch Black does not have a diet version though?
Yeah, 77 grams. I want to say that like regular Coke is only like 39 grams of sugar.
Not as tasty to me.
Wow. Yes, Jess.
I'm sorry. What am I looking up?
Look up how much sugar like Coke or Pepsi have in them.
But it would keep me awake. It would
no, not Diet Coke. They would have no sugar in them. They have other sweeteners.
Coke or Coke and Pepsi.
Just look up Coke. How much sugar in Coke?
You know, I do try to give it up. And I'm supposed to be actually going on a fast really soon here, but like I don't have the willpower right now. I'm just going to be honest. I don't have the willpower.
Just looked it up. It is 39. So a regular Coke only has 39 grams and a Mountain Dew. Will you look up Mountain Dew? Make sure that this is right. 76. Oh, my gosh. That's like double. No wonder it tastes so good.
Delicious. Exactly. So delicious,
holy
man.
Cow.
And not only, wait, you're looking up a regular serving size. That's assuming.
Well, they said that's the 20-ounce bottle.
Yeah, I don't buy the bottles. I do fountain drinks.
Oh, you never buy it in the bottle?
44 ounces.
Oh, my gosh.
I want a swimming pool of Mountain Dew. I even have these huge cups from Speedway. These refill, you know, you
yeah,
buy
they
the
get
cup
to go
at
with
Speedway.
That huge mug.
That huge mug.
Oh, my gosh.
And damn. People are like, what is that in there? It's wow. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
That's an addiction.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was going to tell you.
Well,
it is real.
And listen, Pam, I get it because as we talk about on the show, we're in the middle of Lent, so I'm not drinking Diet Coke. And right after Christmas, I got sick and I quit Diet Coke for 30 days. I'm doing another now during Lent. I'm trying not to do Diet Coke because I was up to 5 or 6 Diet Cokes a day. And while that doesn't have the sugar, it's got all the crap in it. And it just, you know, the studies say it, you know, diet doesn't really help you. It leads you to want to crave other things. It like tricks your body. So then you crave other things. So I'm trying to go clean and it is not easy.
No, it's not. I mean, people don't give enough credence to the addiction factor there because I am telling you that the last time I went on a fast, and I'm fasting from foods and diet and all kinds of sodas. I'm just trying to go clean and not do processed anything. The last time I did that, I actually started dreaming about drinking soda.
Oh, really?
I'm serious. Yeah.
I believe it.
That is a withdrawal symptom for real.
Absolutely.
Then I was in Speedway just getting gas, but I had to stand next to the fountain machine to get my gas. Mm-hmm. My mouth got dry and I started to feel dizzy. What? I'm serious. Like this actually happened to me. And I'm like, that's when I told myself, Pam, really?
Yeah.
This is not cocaine.
You're going through like a nicotine withdrawal.
What is wrong with you? So yeah, I'm going to stop. I really am.
920 says, tried the orange Coke and it sucks. I believe that. Somebody else tweeted that I follow. I can't remember who said they tried it and it was awful. 815, unrelated, but 815 just decided to throw this out there. Other things that are bad for us. Pop-Tarts have 70 grams of carbs per package. But you know what, though? Pop-Tarts are so good. The cinnamon sugar Pop-Tarts, my favorite Pop-Tart.
I never got into those, really.
Same.
Oh, they're
I have some bad news, guys.
Uh-oh.
I just Googled how many grams of sugar were in a margarita.
Okay. Well, is this count of salt? Well, I guess it's salt on the road. Okay, how many grams?
156 in a frozen margarita.
Wow. What if we do it on the rocks? Does that help?
I don't know.
That's a lot of sugar.
See, on the alcohol side, though, I'm really good because I only drink straight liquor. I don't do mixed anything.
What do you drink?
I'm a top shelf tequila drinker.
Oh, God.
Room temperature.
Oh, God.
No training wheels.
That just gives me the sweats.
I think the average is like 12. What?
Wait, 12 grams of sugar in a margarita on the rocks?
Yeah.
Well, that's incredibly better. You said 120-some in a frozen.
I know, but frozen ones are so good.
Well, here's a tip for everybody out there. Order your margaritas on the rocks. Don't order the frozen one unless you want a lot of...
Or just drink the straight tequila, and it's gluten-free.
And it's trying to keep people going at 3 in the morning.
It's tough to have just a frozen margarita. Because if you're having a frozen margarita, that's a party. That's not like, hey, we're sitting around the house, let's have a frozen margarita. No, you frozen margarita, you're out on the back deck with people, or you're on vacation or somewhere. You're not having just one frozen margarita, most likely. You're having at least two. So now you're talking about a week's worth of sugar in two drinks.
I could have like 5.
You could not. You'd be flat on your back, passed out, if you had 2. I guarantee it. There's no way you could have 5. Not a chance, Jess. Don't even try to talk that talk.
I had 8 in Nashville.
Over the course of how many days?
Just 1.
Get out of here. You did not have 8 frozen margaritas. Seriously?
Did you also have alcohol poisoning?
Pam, I'm betting those were like all water. She didn't realize what was going on.
Come on now. 8.
Her boyfriend, Stefan, was ordering her virgin daiquiris or something.
Probably.
There's no way. There's no way Jess could handle that. 312-981-7.
She's not saying anything.
Well, somebody called, so she's answering the phone lines right now. She's defending herself on the phones. Pam, how well have you been following the Jussie Smollett case?
Okay, I got to give a disclaimer before you start asking me questions on this.
Go right ahead.
Because I can't really talk about this case.
Get out of here.
Because I've worked with Jussie, and he was very instrumental in my role on Empire.
I didn't know you were on Empire.
I've been on Empire. I was a co-star twice.
Get out of here.
In 2 seasons.
That's cool.
Actually, it was, I think, 2 times in 1 season. Once at the beginning and once at the end of the season. So, yeah, I won't be talking about this case.
So, you, like Miss Kim Fox, are going to recuse yourself from this.
I have recused myself. Okay. Yes.
All right. I'll give you that. That's fine.
I would not want the appearance of impropriety or biased comments.
That's absolutely understandable. Absolutely understandable. However, I'm going to continue on this line.
Of course you are. And that's fine.
This is just the craziest, only in Chicago type story in some ways.
Now, I will comment and say that this is crazy.
Yes. I will unrecuse myself just to say, this is crazy. Now back to recusal.
Because it really didn't say what was crazy about it or how it was crazy or who I thought was crazy.
And I think you could adequately and fairly say there's a lot of craziness to go around. And you could just sprinkle it around and just say, yeah, everybody got a little bit of crazy here.
That's right. I've got a new meme that somebody shot and it goes like this. Look up in the camera. Look at the camera.
Okay.
Did you see?
Oh, yeah. It's like when people can do that somehow by typing, you know, characters on the board, right?
Yeah,
the,
just like
the hands up in the air, shrug your shoulders like, I don't know. This is just how things are. John Williams, my old friend John, had Kim Fox, the state's attorney, on a show this week, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, who recused herself from the case after she had had contact with the Smollett's leading up to the investigation. Now, a lot of people are very upset with her for, again, it's like Trump and Sessions, very upset with her recusal. The way I read it and heard it at first, and the way she had, I thought it was explained, you know, she says, well, he's a victim. He's a victim when this all first starts reporting this crime. And she has contact with victims' families. That happens. There were leaks from the Chicago Police Department about questions about whether or not this was real. That was leaking to the media, and the media was starting to report on that. And so from the way I understood it, she recused herself and asked the FBI to take over because there was questions about were there improprieties in this case. So I was not upset with her at all about recusing herself from this case. I thought that seemed like, hey, I've had contact with the family. If this is now turning against them and the investigation's going that way, if the CPD, if somebody had leaked information, I can understand why the family's concerned. Let's just turn this over to somebody else and let them have a clear view at it, and then it goes from there. But, of course, the story got crazier and crazier, and then they had a 16-count indictment against Jussie Smollett, and then this week the state's attorney under Kim Fox, her second, who she recused herself. So this gentleman who's been there, like, I think she says 29 years, takes over. And they release him forfeiting his bond and doing some community service. And there was a big uproar about, you know, is this enough? So John had Kim on earlier this week, State's Attorney Fox. And I was driving home. I didn't get to catch all of it. But to me, it was just fascinating. And I want us to just replay a little bit of that. We're going to start from the beginning. We'll pause it here and there. I'm going to comment and talk as we go. But this is just fascinating. So I wanted to, if you didn't get a chance to hear some of this week, you know, you read a lot of headlines, you hear a lot of sound bites. But to actually hear State's Attorney Fox talk and explain her role and her decisions in this, I thought was pretty fascinating. Just go ahead and start that.
I'm good, John. Good afternoon.
I know you've had a whirlwind of tours. You're trying to answer as many questions as possible, and we appreciate you making some time for us today. Since we've all been talking about and watching those interviews and listening to them, I have my own little set of questions in front of me. So while this might seem a little random, I hope you'll just kind of bear with me. The first question I have is, was this a plea agreement or did you drop charges? And is there a distinction? We visited with Jussie's attorney the other day, and he said this is no plea agreement. They didn't have a good enough case and dropped charges. Would you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, let me first do the caveat that I was not involved in the arrangement. I had recused myself back in February. So my first assistant, Joe Maggette, negotiated with Mr. Smollett's team the terms of the agreement. We had a strong case. To be clear, you know, not just in this case, but in other cases, any time that the state is asking someone to do something in condition of dismissing charges, they can only do that ethically if they believe that the case was strong. We can't ask an innocent person to forfeit their bond. You can't ask an innocent person to do community service. And so the semantics that apparently their attorneys are using is interesting. What I know, and having spoken to Joe, was that Mr. Smollett's case charges were dropped in exchange for his bond forfeiture and community service.
And talk to me a little bit about that community service. Who made that deal? When was it made? What are the very specifics of it? Can you talk about that?
John, I can't, like I said, Joe Magetz, who was our first assistant, negotiated that. And so I know, you know, in broad strokes that he had done a couple days of community service here in Chicago and some other community service, I believe, back out west. But I can't tell you the specifics of that because, again, I was recused from the case.
You don't know the details of that?
I didn't inquire of the details of that. Again, I was recused.
But I'm sorry, Kim, but you haven't since? I mean, as we sit here now, you don't know the details of how that deal was worked out?
No.
I'm surprised by that. Aren't you curious?
No. I mean, I think part of the reason that I had done the recusal was to make sure that whatever happened in that case was done without the influence of me. And since the news has broken and the information of the last couple of days have gotten out, I've been more focused on how do we talk about how alternative prosecution and diversion work overall.
Okay, hold on.
Now people are able to participate in that. But no, I have not gotten into the
weeds. Let's go ahead and pause right there, Jess. Go ahead and pause it right there real quick. I mean, it's just, and I understand John's exasperation because here's this story, which is, you know, the amount of attention doesn't fit the crime, right? It's a huge story because it became national news because here's this famous actor claiming there was a homophobic, racially charged attack against him here in Chicago. And Chicago has enough of a black eye nationally all the time because of our levels of crime that this was a big deal. And when it starts turning out that it sounds like it wasn't true, that it was made up, all these things, that becomes a big deal. And then they get a 16-count indictment, and then suddenly the state's attorney says, yeah, he's going to forfeit his bond and do some community service, and that's it. And so, of course, people have a lot of questions about that. And I understand, as I said, Kim Fox recusing herself from that case. But then, as John is saying, you don't even know now. I understand you recuse yourself, but now the deal's been done. And now there's all these questions you don't know about. And she said, no, it made it sound like she has no interest in it. Now, just a day later, as more and more, I think, questions were being asked, she had an op-ed piece in the Chicago Tribune. And let me read that to you. It's fascinating. Let's talk about the Jussie Smollett case. This is written by State's Attorney Kim Fox, was printed in the Tribune. You can find it at chicagotribune.com. Let's talk about his alleged actions, the decision about how to best prosecute and resolve the case, and the implications for our Chicagoland community. There was considerable evidence uncovered in large part due to the investigative work of the Chicago Police Department suggesting that portions of Smollett's claims may have been untrue and that he had direct contact with his so-called attackers. Claims by Smollett or others that the outcome of this case has exonerated him or that he has been found innocent are simply wrong. He has not been exonerated. He has not been found innocent. Falsely reporting any crime is itself a crime. Falsely reporting a hate crime is so much worse. And I condemn in the strongest way possible, anyone who does that. Falsely reporting a hate crime causes immeasurable harm to the victims of actual crimes, whether because they are less likely to be believed or worse, because they're afraid to report their crimes in the first place for fear of not being believed. So why isn't Smollett in prison or at least on trial? There are two different answers to this, both equally important. First, the law. There were specific aspects of the evidence and testimony presented to the office that would have made securing a conviction against Smollett uncertain. In determining whether or not to pursue charges, prosecutors are required to balance the severity of the crime against the likelihood of securing a conviction. For a variety of reasons, including public statements made about the evidence in this case, my office believed the likelihood of securing a conviction was not certain. Now, I listened to this interview earlier with Jess, and I don't remember if this part already played, although I think it did, where she made it sound like they had a very strong case. But just the next day in this op-ed, she's writing about that it was very unsure. So I think she's hedging her bets a little bit more there than, you know, from one day to the next, which is interesting to me. Now, maybe when she was talking to John, she didn't know all the intricate details. And as more and more people were asking questions, she went back to Joe and said, hey, let's talk about this. And then maybe he told her some things like, well, here's some issues that I think there were with this case. In the interest of full transparency, I would prefer these records to be made public. However, in this case, Illinois law allows defendants in certain circumstances to request that public records remain sealed. Smollett chose to pursue that avenue, and so my office is barred from releasing those records without his approval. Another key fact, and the interesting thing is, I understand you plead this out, but did he plead guilty or not? what is this deal? I don't understand this. How did they work out this deal where they dropped all the charges, but he forfeits his bond and agrees to do community service? Is that a guilty plea or not a guilty plea? What is this in between? I never knew that we could sort of do this, where he didn't plead guilty to anything. He agreed to forfeit the bond and do this, but it's just a weird setup. She goes on to write, another key factor is that the crime here was a class 4 felony, the least serious category, which also covers things like falsely pulling a fire alarm in school and draft card mutilation. These felonies are routinely resolved, particularly in cases involving suspects with no prior criminal record, long before a case ever nears a courtroom, and often without either jail time or monetary penalties. Any prosecutor, law enforcement leader, or elected official not grandstanding or clouded by political expediency understands the purpose of sentencing guidelines. But more important than the dispassionate legal justification, there was another reason that I believe our decision not to prosecute the case was the right one. Yes, falsely reporting a hate crime makes me angry, and anyone who does that deserves the community's outrage. But as I've said since before I was elected, we must separate the people at whom we are angry from the people of whom we are afraid. I am angry at anyone who falsely reports a crime. I am afraid when I see a little girl shot dead while sitting on her mother's lap. I am afraid when I see a CPD commander slain by a four-time felon who is walking the streets. I am also afraid when I see CPD resources used to initially cover up the shooting death of Laquan McDonald. I was elected on a promise to rethink the justice system, to keep people out of prison who do not pose a danger to the community. I promised to spend my officers' finite resources on the most serious crimes in order to create communities that are both safe and fairer. Our community is safer in every sense of the word when murderers and rapists are locked away, but we can't allow fearmongers to devalue the tremendous progress we've made in the last year. Since taking office, I've sought to employ alternative prosecutions, diversions, alternate outcomes, and other forms of smart justice, and it has been working. Violent crime in Chicago is down overall. In addition to the benefits of smart justice on recidivism and keeping families together, it also creates bandwidth for my office to dedicate more resources to combating not only truly violent crimes, but also the opioid crisis, holding big banks accountable for their actions, protecting consumers from data breaches, and other critical work. Since it seems politically expedient right now to question my motives and actions and those of my office, let me state publicly and clearly that I welcome an outside non-political review of how we handled this matter. I am not perfect, nor is any other prosecutor out there, but ensuring that I and my office have our community's trust is paramount. As a public figure, Smollett's alleged unstable actions have probably caused him more harm than any court-ordered penance could. None of that, though, should detract from two facts that must be able to coexist. First, falsely reporting a hate crime is a dangerous and unlawful act, and Smollett was not exonerated of that in this case. Second, our criminal justice system is at its best when jails are used to protect us from the people we rightly fear, while alternative outcomes are reserved for the people who make us angry, but need to learn the error of their ways without seeing their lives irrevocably destroyed. Well, that's really interesting to me. That's really, really interesting to me, because I think that she really, this sounds to me like a defense attorney. Our community is safer when murderers and rapists are locked away. You could hear his defense attorney on during a trial saying this. Why are we prosecuting this man saying he did this? He claims he's innocent. Whatever you think he did, is it worth the level that we've gone to, that we're wasting public resources on this trial? And by doing, I mean, now Smollett's attorneys are saying the city owes him an apology, all these things. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is trying to demand. And here's the two things that I think Kim Fox is somewhat ignoring here is that there were 2 weeks of a lot of investigative time by the CPD spent on this. It's a big, comparing it to pulling a fire alarm in school, I think is really a false comparison, because I know it's not his fault maybe that it was such a public thing, but if they do believe he falsely did this and we wasted so much time and it's falsely reporting it, like she says, this type of thing means the next person that comes forward with something like this, there's a little, oh, remember when that other guy faked that? That hurts, and people should be prosecuted for falsely reporting things because it makes it harder for other victims to come forward. And so just letting it go like this, and so wait, so any trial that doesn't result in hardened jail time. So any murderer, so if it's not murder or rape, I mean, this is the argument that a lot of people are going to have right now is, why are you prosecuting this? I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't murder anybody. I'm not a rapist. I'm not a violent criminal. Why are you wasting your time on this? She goes on and on about, you know, how we have to protect, you know, I'm not scared of these things. Well, I'm not scared of data breaches either. I don't fear those. I want to protect myself from them. Holding big banks accountable. I mean, come on. Either he's not being prosecuted because we need to spend our time on dangerous crimes, or he's going to be prosecuted. If you're working so hard on data breaches, then somebody falsely reporting a hate crime, that's a pretty big deal. And it was a big black eye for Chicago. And so there's more to it than just, you know, the class four felony issue of it. Maybe that's legally what it is. Maybe he's just going to get a suspended sentence, whatever. But either way, either we're prosecuting or we're not. We'll play a little bit more of it after the news. 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll have Pam Jones with your news next, 720 WGN. 3:39 in the morning here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Thanks for hanging out with us overnights here, everybody. Jess, do you still have John Williams queued up with his interview with Kim Fox? I want to play a little bit more of that and read to you from a couple more articles. Go ahead and pick it up where we were.
Be a question with a similar, you'll get a similar answer, but sure. Have you asked Joe why? I mean, it seems to me that typically when someone enters into this sort of a deal, they're prohibited from proclaiming their innocence when they leave. Why wasn't that part of this negotiated process?
So I didn't ask Joe that, but I can tell you in broader strokes, again, the different ways that we do diversion. One way we do it is that someone pleads guilty and they are asked to do certain conditions. So maybe it's restitution or community service or some other type of engagement. Maybe if they have a drug issue, drug treatment, they're given time.
Well, I understand all that, but I'm just wondering why he's allowed to come out and badmouth you and your office when he entered into a deal for committing a crime.
I mean, that's a question that I can't answer for him. I think Joe looked at the various ways in which he could negotiate this, why he chose to allow him to do it this way. Again, he can't ask him to do something if he didn't think that he was guilty. And Mr. Smollett and his team obviously are trying to spin this in their client's best interest.
Have you asked Joe why he didn't get that part of the deal? And I only ask because, and I know you were recused, but this goes, I think, to the integrity of your office. So I would imagine you would be asking your first deputy why and how these decisions were made. I mean, you're the one who's got to be out here defending them now.
Yes, certainly. And I take no issue with that. What I was trying to explain earlier is there are circumstances where someone does not have to enter a guilty plea and can still do the conditions and have the case dropped. This is a class four felony, which is our lowest level felony, where those types of negotiations happen. So there are times where people have allocution where they say, I did it, and then do something, and we vacate the conviction and drop the charges. And there are other circumstances where they've done what is asked of them that's been negotiated, and we drop the charges.
You've used the term recuse a couple of times here, and I've heard
that
you
now,
say you were
See, it's interesting to me because I think then the one thing that her office then, and I understand, listen, it's class four felony. We didn't feel that it's worth tying up the time. She repeats, hey, if he wasn't guilty of things, we wouldn't ask him to do that. We couldn't ask him to do that if we didn't feel he was guilty. So we felt he was guilty. But there is a failure on the office's part because now Jussie is out there saying, hey, you know, they're... Now, maybe it's because of Mayor Emanuel demanding money that this has fueled this, but he's out there saying, I didn't do it. They owe me an apology and all these things that he was exonerated. She's having to say, no, he wasn't exonerated. He just da-da-da. They should have, you would think, at least extracted from him a guilty plea of some sort. Let him off. Let him pay a small fine. Do community service. That's fine. That's probably what this crime fits. But they should at least not be dropping 16 charges, 16-count indictment, on just a small thing, and then he's out there being able to say, and I didn't plead guilty, they had to drop charges, whatever it is, they didn't secure enough to make this look like, yeah, we let it go because it's not worth tying up our courts, but yes, he was guilty. They don't even have that, and it's making him look bad, and for State's Attorney Fox to go on and do the rounds of media and then say, well, I haven't looked into it, I haven't asked, I trust my deputy to make the decision. Well, then you shouldn't be out there doing the interviews if you're not going to be able to answer the questions. I just think that was a weird tack to take. And so then she wrote the op-ed the next day that we wrote from earlier. Two very different pieces in the Chicago Tribune, one by Darlene Glanton and one by Eric Zorn. Darlene wrote about Mayor Emanuel, and she's very angry with Mayor Emanuel for, she feels, just getting on a soapbox and wanting attention, demanding that Jussie Smollett pay back the city $130,000. Eric Zorn writes a very interesting piece saying that Kim Fox is going to lose her job over this in the next year when she's up for re-election. And he kind of writes a bit, to me, a bit of what I was saying earlier after we listened to and read Attorney Fox's op-ed piece on why they didn't, why this isn't necessary to go to trial. Eric Zorn writes, yes, there are many worse crimes committed every day in Chicago than staging a hate-inspired attack and filing a false police report about it, the offense with which Smollett was charged. And no, justice did not demand that Smollett be shackled and shipped off to prison for allegedly orchestrating a stunt. But justice demanded resolution and accountability. And Fox appeared oblivious to this imperative as she made the media rounds attempting to explain why her office sent Smollett on his merry way Tuesday morning without extracting an admission of guilt or collecting a meaningful fine. Her tone-deaf statements included equating Smollett to the raft of no-name, low-level, nonviolent offenders who have received the go-and-sin-no-more treatment and patronizing those who are outraged by the outcome as people who don't understand the intricacies of the justice system. Here's what we understand. High-profile criminal cases are the lens through which the public sees and evaluates the administration of justice as a whole. Is the alleged crime investigated thoroughly and honestly? Is the process of obtaining an outcome transparent and fair? Does the result give us confidence that all the low-profile cases most of us never hear of are being handled with integrity? Smollett's claim was high-profile because he's a celebrity and because he alleged that his attackers evoked President Donald Trump, used racial and homophobic slurs, and deployed a noose in giving him a light beating on a Streeterville sidewalk in the wee hours of January 29th. The claim got national attention and put pressure on the CPD to track down the perpetrators or else risk looking indifferent to a disturbing battery against a prominent African-American gay man. And when Smollett's claim unraveled and authorities alleged he and two acquaintances had faked the whole thing, the pressure shifted onto the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Fox and her team had to demonstrate that they take seriously the social damage caused by invented hate crimes, particularly ones that command significant investigatory resources. It was a fairly basic task. They failed spectacularly. The process that brought a surprise end to the case was anything but transparent. Prosecutors didn't even alert reporters to the emergency hearing where they dropped without explanation all 16 felony disorderly conduct charges and where they didn't object to the sealing of the court file. And although prosecutors got Smollett to forfeit his bond of $10,000, not much of a dent in the budget of an actor who reportedly makes more than 10 times that amount per episode of Empire, they did not even ask for a confession or apology. That allowed Smollett to repair immediately to the courthouse lobby and preen for the cameras about his innocence. His lawyers have since repeatedly echoed this claim, for example, responding Thursday to the city's demand that he pay the cost of the investigation, estimated at $130,000, with a statement saying, "It is the mayor and the police chief who owe Jussie, owe him an apology for dragging an innocent man's character through the mud. Jussie has paid enough." Such galling pieties have infuriated all of us who wanted to see the accused selfish charlatan humbled and fined for allegedly perpetrating such an ugly hoax. I mean, that's the thing, and I understand Kim Fox, as I said, saying, listen, this isn't worth trial, this isn't worth the resources when we have murderers and rapists that we need to convict. But $10,000 and a couple, it sounds like very small amount of community service on a 16-count indictment. You could have taken more time. You could have put more pressure on him and waited. And you would think $130,000 maybe would have been, or at least an admission of guilt, something to at least feel like there was more justice. But now, not only does it look like maybe they didn't do enough, you've got his side not helping her out at all by claiming his innocence and the city owes him an apology and they did this and they did that. So it leaves Kim Fox in a position of having to fight a battle at both ends. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. 3:51 in the morning here, 720 WGN. We're here until 5 a.m. You can follow us during the week as well. Matt Bubala Show on Facebook, at Matt Bubala on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, it was good hearing from Roger Badish earlier in the show tonight. In fact, Jess, let's look up What's Roger on Twitter? If you all are on Twitter, it would be so nice of you guys to reach out at Teacher RB. At Teacher RB is Roger on Twitter. Give him a like and throw him a little note. Tell him you're glad to hear from him. Glad he's doing better. He'll be back on the air with us next week. We've got the great Pam Jones filling in for us here until, what are you on till? Pam, you do the 6 a.m.
I was going to ask you what I'm on to.
I think, I want to say Roger's last one's the 5:30.
Wow.
Not 100% sure. That might be the 6.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of news from you tonight, man. I did like you. I really
I'm
did.
So
we
sorry.
Had a thing going there.
I don't set up the hours, Pam. No, I don't.
Good things come to an end, I guess. Wow.
Well, next time.
No, but I think that's a great idea on Twitter. So that's really cool.
At Teacher RB, send him a little note. Let him know you're thinking about him. Cool. He would so much appreciate that. For all you ladies out there who have given birth at some point in your lives and you think you had a tough pregnancy, listen to this. A woman in Bangladesh gave birth in February to a baby boy, which is just wonderful, right? That's a beautiful thing. A few months later, she gave birth to twins.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by a few months?
Amazingly, Arifa Sultana didn't even know she was pregnant with the second set of babies. The 20-year-old mother from the Jessore district gave birth to a premature son in late February. That child is doing well, but last week, so a month later, Sultana had to be rushed back to the hospital after she was complaining about serious pain in her stomach. Doctors discovered Sultana was pregnant with twins who were incubating in a previously undiscovered second uterus. Turns out she had a condition known as uterus didelphys, a rare congenital condition. The condition happens during development. Typically, the uterus starts out as two small tubes that normally join to form one larger hollow cavity. On rare occasions, those tubes don't join completely and instead develop into separate structures. Doctors performed an emergency cesarean section on Sultana and delivered a baby boy and girl. Dr. Sheila Padar, a gynecologist at Ad-Din Hospital in Dhaka, told CNN that all three children are safe and healthy, and the mother is also fine. How do you like them apples?
I don't. That's why I'm celibate. Just joking.
Could you imagine? You have a baby, you go back, you're like tired, you're worn out, you're just sleep deprived, you're getting through everything you can, you got stomach pains. Go to the hospital. Oh, well, here's the problem. You got two more kids in there. We'll take those out for you. Now you got three.
That's not even cool.
That's rough, let me tell you. I speak from experience. We have triplets. I don't know if you know.
I was going to ask you. Oh, that's so cool. So what?
But they're old.
Gender.
I mean,
they're old.
Well, they are. So we have they are old, Jess. We have a 17-year-old son, and then we have two boys and a girl who are 13, going on 14.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are they all fraternal, or were two of them twins? Or
no, they were all extremely different. All paternal, I guess that would be right. Yes,
okay.
All paternal, and three very. It's fascinating. Three very different kids. You know, even though they've grown up in the same house, same school, same classroom, their whole lives, been around each other, you know, 90% of their lives. Three completely different people. It's very funny.
That's cool.
And you see it from a young age, too.
Wow.
So.
So what was that process like for you?
I was just going to ask.
Which process is that?
Well, I'm assuming that
people
you knew
tend
you were
to ask,
have triplets.
We did. It wasn't naturally conceived. We had trouble getting pregnant after Jack, our older son. We had trouble having a pregnancy last again. And so we started going to a fertility center. And then whammo, a week later, it seemed like, we have triplets. Started out, first time we had a ultrasound, it was twins. And then we went back two weeks later. That's when they found the third one. And that was rough because Colleen was just getting used to the idea of twins and that not freaking her out. And then they said, guess what? And so that was a lot of tears and stress. And then once they come, you know, it just is what it is. People are always like, how did you do it? I'm like, how you did it with one. You just get through it. It's whatever you have is what you deal with and you figure it out. My mom came and lived with us for 6 months. Because the toughest part, I mean, it's physically very demanding. A lot of picking up, a lot of changing, a lot of feeding, trying to figure out how you're going to do all that. And so having a third set of hands helped, for sure. But, you know, like, we kept them all on the same feeding schedule. You know, one would wake up in the middle of the night crying to eat, then we'd wake up the other two. You know, we made sure that they stayed on the same schedule, or else all you would do is get up all night long at different times and stuff.
Right.
But I don't remember most of it. It's kind of a blur. But
what?
How? Oh, totally. How? Because when you're not getting sleep and all you're doing is that stuff, and, you know, it's just, whoa, it goes by quick.
How did you manage work?
Well, it was really crazy at the time because I was producing John's show here at WGN, and 5 months earlier, I had started my own company, my Black Dog company. That's my full-time thing now. So it was a kind of crazy time. And my mom, who lived in Las Vegas, my parents had gotten a divorce like a year earlier. My mom was still out in Las Vegas. And when we found out we were having triplets, she said, well, I'd like to move back then and help you guys out. And so we sold her condo and everything was working out. We weren't supposed to have the triplets. Our due date was in September. It was September 2nd. But they knew we would never make it 40 weeks. We're trying to get to 32 weeks. That was the goal. We made it to 31 and a half weeks when Colleen had the triplets. And it just so happened that the day she went into labor was the day my mom was moving back. My mom was on an airplane from Vegas moving home when Colleen went into labor, oddly enough. So it worked out. And away we went. But then they were in the hospital for a while because they were premature. They were only 31 and a half weeks. So I cannot remember the order now, of course, that people came home. I think Anna came, but they were in the NICU for like 2, 4, and 8 weeks, I think, or 4, 6, and 8 weeks before anybody came out of the hospital and came home. So it was crazy time, crazy time. I was so tired that when I went to visit Colleen at the hospital before she had the baby, I think this was before she had the babies, I fell asleep in the parking lot as I was idling. I was like in a line waiting to park. I fell asleep while I was driving and bumped into a car. That was bad.
Seems like you fall asleep often while you're driving there, Matthew.
No, what else? Oh, that was, no, I was parked at that other one that you're talking about. This is the only time I've ever done it while actually driving. And luckily, I was just like, I had my foot on the brake. I was just like idling. You know, I was waiting in line with cars to move.
I never knew any of this before.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like this.
Warm and fuzzy with Matt Barbaro.
I don't know how warm and fuzzy it is, but it's something. Coming up, the stories that matter with Pam Jones from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. After the news, I want to talk about leggings and whether or not us men can control ourselves en masse if we see them. Also, tourist dies taking selfies. That story seems to happen all too often. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. You heard the tone. It's 4 in the morning. Let's check the news now with Pam Jones. 4:06 a.m., 720 WGN. Just another hour or two for you, Pam. You're going to make it.
I think I will make it. I got some coffee now.
You'll never come here without the Mountain Dew again, though, will you?
Well, I did have a can, but it was full sugar Mountain Dew, so I just only wanted that.
Do you normally drink the diet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, that saves you from the 77 grams of sugar that we were.
Yeah, but it's a gateway drug.
Yes, it is. Our friend Heidi Stevens, who writes for your Chicago Tribune, wrote, "We can always count on leggings to change the subject for us."
That's a great segue.
For most of Thursday, the only headline that shared space with Jussie Smollett on the Chicago Tribune's most read stories list was Notre Dame mom begs female students to stop wearing leggings, sparking protests. Think of the mothers of sons, this Notre Dame mother said or wrote. Marianne White, a self-described Catholic mother of four sons, wrote a letter to the editor published by The Observer, Notre Dame student newspaper, imploring Notre Dame women to start wearing an anti-leggings trend. She was upset in particular by seeing young women wearing leggings to mass recently. I thought of all the other men around and behind us who couldn't help but see their behinds, White wrote. My sons know better than to ogle a woman's body, certainly when I'm around and hopefully also when I'm not. They didn't stare and they didn't comment afterwards, but you couldn't help but see those blackly naked rear ends. I didn't want to see them, but they were unavoidable. How much more difficult for young guys to ignore them. Leggings are so naked, so form-fitting, so exposing, she continued. Could you think of the mothers of sons the next time you go shopping and consider choosing jeans instead? So I want all of you women to remember who are getting very upset with the guys that are like, this is a dangerous time for men and men don't know this and that. And you're like, hey, if you're a good person, you don't have nothing to worry about. There's women out here, too, who are causing these issues. This is like the female Mike Pence here. I can't be alone in a woman. You know, Mike Pence won't be alone in a meeting with a woman unless there's another man present who isn't his wife. This assumption that we're
all... Unless there's another man present who isn't his wife.
Mike Pence will not be alone in a room with a woman who is not his wife.
Okay, I see.
So he won't have any meetings with a woman by himself.
Okay.
Unless there's a man present.
Oh, okay.
And then he's not by himself, I guess.
Okay, I get it.
But it's very interesting, this whole, like, these boys can't control themselves en masse. All they can do is stare at all these butts. And it's funny, I want to say this, Mom, but have you seen the jeans girls wear most of the times these days? They're hugging just as well as... I don't see a lot of young women walking around in baggy jeans, you know? Jeans are pretty form-fitting as well, for the most part, right? I mean, I don't know anybody that wears baggy jeans, a female that wears baggy jeans. They're tight.
This is begging for a clip of, I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Yeah. Totally. I think that's the communion song next week.
Hey, oh, that'd be great.
That would be interesting. That would liven up that mass. That's why Willow Creek is packing them in. They do things like that. I mean, this just could not be written more terribly. And this is the whole issue of, she's asking for it. This is ridiculous. A, I'll tell you right now, speaking as a man, I'm going to confess something here. We're looking at the butts no matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter. You could wear a skirt. You could wear jeans. You could wear leggings. There's an array of butts in front of us. We've seen them all. We're watching them. We know they're there. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. Young boys full of testosterone and excitement at that age, they're not, it's not like if suddenly you guys stop wearing the leggings, they're going to really hear the sermon and take it to heart. The butts are still there. They're still going to be aware of them. It's not really going to make a difference on that. It's just hilarious.
I got to say, though, and this is going to sound a little stereotypical, but it's an honest thought that I had. Okay. I was walking in the South Loop a couple days ago, and I saw some Amish young people coming across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were dressed in their full garb.
Right.
And speaking Pennsylvania Dutch, I'm guessing that's what they were speaking. And so there's this runner chick, extremely fit, like she had to be like 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes running by and she's got really tight, you know, leggings on. And, you know, she's got a short shirt.
Sure.
This was that day that it was really, really warm outside. Mm-hmm. She got a short shirt and her leggings were kind of sheer. And she goes running. She comes running. And the first thought through my head was like, oh, man, that would really be awful to be those girls walking with those guys. And this one comes across the street nothing almost.
Did those guys seem to have whiplash? Did their heads like whip around
look,
as she went
I
by?
I didn't. I really wanted to look. Oh, I wanted to look so bad. I was like, don't look, Pam. Just don't look. Just keep going.
Those guys are back home with sore necks right now.
And then, but they were probably on Rumspringer, right? So they're supposed to be experiencing all this stuff. But the runner ran across the street and, you know, they were coming. They were like passing each other opposite directions.
Yeah.
She ran across the street and passed them. And then she turned around and ran back across the street in their direction.
Yes, she did. She's like, guess what?
Oh, man.
You guys
imagine.
Came to the big city. You're going to get your money's worth today.
Oh, yeah. They definitely got their money's worth. Wow.
Heidi goes on to write, let's think about the sons rather than their mothers for a moment. Young men, I'm fairly certain, have been getting turned on by young women since the beginning of time, since long before leggings were invented, even at mass. Is that such a bad thing? Not really. Not if they learn and remember that they're only one half of any intimate equation. Not if they think of young women as their equals, deserving of every bit as much of latitude as young men have to turn down in advance, no questions asked, or if they're so inclined to accept one. Why portray young women and their bodies and young men and their reaction to them as so shameful? I wonder about what kind of pressure these four sons feel to ignore the young women around them. How do they handle swimming pools, beaches, the checkout line at Target when Women's Health magazine is on display? Do they feel like failures on some level if they experience a sexual urge? Are they ashamed when they feel attracted to someone? Have they let down their mom who's working so hard to protect them from the temptations of female flesh that she'd write an open letter to the female half of Notre Dame, a university of more than 12,000 students? That seems like a mess of emotions for a young man to untangle, maybe even when he's not so young anymore. What if instead of asking young women to base their clothing decisions on her own comfort, this mother of sons acknowledged that sexual attraction is a normal, healthy part of adolescence and adulthood? That sometimes it doesn't take much to bring it on, that you might even experience it at unexpected times or in unexpected places, that what you do with it is the most important part. What you do with it, she could say, always, always, always has the other person's needs and wants and comfort level smack dab in the center. Nothing happens unless both people want it to, every step of the way. Nothing wrong with young men being attracted to young women. The species sort of depends on it, actually. Just don't be a jerk about it. Nothing wrong either, of course, with adding, in our faith we believe you don't act on those urges until marriage, if you're so inclined. Wouldn't that be easier and more effective than asking a few thousand young women to start an anti-leggings revolution? Which, as it turns out, backfired. Notre Dame students declared Tuesday as Leggings Pride Day and organized a leggings protest on Wednesday. I sort of love how Shane Combs, a Notre Dame senior, put it in a letter to the editor published on Wednesday. To my female classmates, wear what you want, he wrote. How you dress for mass is not a reflection of your character, nor does it disqualify you from dignified and respectful treatment from the rest of us. Round of applause for Shane Combs. I hope Marianne White read his letter. That's from our Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune. Those poor, I don't know how many of her four sons are at Notre Dame. I'm assuming just one or two. But they've got to be like, oh my God, Mom, did you really write that? Can you imagine those poor guys on campus right now? Like, Mom, Mom!
Can you imagine them trying to get a date now?
I'll tell you what she's wearing on the first date.
Victorian blouse.
No, she's wearing the leggings. She's first dinner at home, and that's all I'd wear. If I was dating one of these kids, I'd be like, leggings till you can't take it no more. That's all they should wear around that, Mom.
With extra booty padding.
with the fake booty. Jess, you're wearing leggings right now. Jess is wearing leggings right now, she said. And we've gotten along just fine tonight. No problems at all. Good thing we're not at mass.
Well, you know, because I have an ample amount of padding of my own.
So do I. And luckily, guys don't wear leggings.
Conscious of when I wear leggings to wear a shirt that covers that whole area. I can't be one of these girls that wears this shirt where the butt is just so obvious.
Right.
It's obvious anyway. So, I don't know. I don't know, but I don't think women should feel like they have to.
Well, absolutely you shouldn't. I mean, come on, guys.
Nor should I feel like...
We have
like,
to keep evolving here and not, you know, telling women not to wear things because men get attracted is, that's going back 50 years, right? I mean,
right.
That's two steps back. Let's not do that.
Right. I don't want to live in a world where we just assume that men can't control themselves.
And we need to raise our boys to understand that you are going to be sexually attracted to people an awful lot. And this is how you handle those things. This is how you... you know, act, and this is how you be respectful. And, you know, if you get a glimpse in mass, you get a glimpse in mass. That's, you know, that's how that goes. You're going to get glimpses in a lot of places in life, and, you know, that's life. That's what happens. 870 writes, does this writer know about people like me who were driven crazy by the girls in Catholic school girl uniforms? It does not take that much to distract a young boy. That is true. Moving on. Two people died at the Grand Canyon after two separate incidents this week, including a tourist who was taking pictures. On Thursday, a man from Hong Kong was taking pictures at an overlook of the Grand Canyon when he slipped and fell, according to a spokesman for Grand Canyon West. Helicopter search began immediately and a recovery operation is ongoing, according to a spokesperson for the Eagle Point Observation Area, who added the man apparently was taking a selfie. The man was in his late 50s, was part of a tour group visiting the Eagle Point Observation Area at Grand Canyon West. He was about 100 yards from the Skywalk. I don't know if you remember the Skywalk. This was very famous when it came out. It's the scariest thing ever. The Skywalk is a horseshoe-shaped glass platform that goes about 4,000 feet over the canyon. has glass balustrades and is designed for the safety of visitors who want unique photos of the canyon. So it's like a glass floor that you look through. It's freaky as get out. Grand Canyon West is owned and operated by the Hulape tribe, according to its website. Eagle Point nearby Skywalk were closed after the man fell. Skywalk has since reopened. On Tuesday, according to a statement by the National Park Service, rangers and special agents responded to a fatality of a visitor near the south rim of the Grand Canyon. Spokesperson for the park said the individual did not fall over the rim. The victim was a foreign national, and the body was found in a forested area south of the rim of the village. On average, there are about 12 fatalities in the park per year, but a small percentage of those are from fatal falls. Causes of death range from heat to drowning to medical issues, and more high elevation plays a role in some of the fatalities. But I feel like you hear more and more about people taking selfies and, you know, putting themselves in dangerous situations. It's just crazy.
I agree. What about that woman? I don't think she died. Did she die? The one that was mauled by the panther? She jumped over.
I don't remember that story.
It was within the last 2 weeks, she jumped in like over a wall into the pen where this black panther was at the zoo, and the black panther mauled her. She wanted to take a selfie. How dumb is that?
Well,
I'm
just going to
say it. Really?
Yes. That is
wow.
That is really dumb. Why would you? Well, I don't understand people doing that.
And then there, I was really happy to see the animal rights activists coming out to say, do not put this animal to sleep, because this is not that animal's fault, you know?
Absolutely. 608 writes, I teach at a Catholic school and we do not allow leggings to be worn to mass. To class, it's okay if their shirt covers their bum. All right.
I love that. If the shirt covers their bum.
I don't know. It is what it is, and that's all that it is. Best and worst states for retirement. Now, it's interesting. So, Pam, you grew up in Indiana. I grew up in Indiana, too, actually.
Cool. Where?
I grew up in Munster.
Oh, okay. I grew up in Gary.
Okay. Not far.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I now live in Illinois, but you live in Indiana and work
yes,
in
I
Illinois.
Do.
And a lot of people have moved to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the taxes, especially, and Indiana's really trying to get them. For retirees, Florida, according to WalletHub, study by WalletHub, Florida is the best state for retirees, which is probably unsurprising, while Kentucky is the worst. They used weighted metrics of affordability, quality of life, and health care. Florida has the highest percentage of a population age 65 and older, one of the lowest tax burdens of any state, no personal income tax, also no estate tax or intangibles tax. South Dakota is the second best state. I would not have guessed that for retirees. Has the second highest total workforce consisting of people age 65 or older. Colorado, New Hampshire, and Virginia were also in the top five. Though spokesperson for WalletHub says, though among the colder states, South Dakota and Wyoming, both have a lot of things going for them. Tax friendliness is one, since pensions and Social Security income are not taxed. And neither state has an estate tax or an inheritance tax. Residents in both states also have some of the longest lifespans in the country. I don't think I could live in South Dakota or Wyoming. It just seems too wide open,
man.
Too away from everything.
After I flew there and saw the jackrabbits, I didn't know what a jackrabbit was until I saw this thing. It's the size of a horse. No, not really, but
is like, it, how big is a jackrabbit?
They're huge.
Like,
what
small
is
dog
that?
Size?
That was like running. What?
Really?
And the cold, it feels like Siberia looks on TV.
I would imagine some, but it's got to be not that much worse than here in the winter, right?
I think it's worse.
And we've had some bad winters.
And because, you know, I feel so much better in Chicago. I keep telling people this. They're like, why do you still live in Chicago? Best place on earth. I mean, even when it's cold here, because, you know, there's always, you know, the buildings. There's culture. There's so much stuff here. Even when it's cold, it feels warm in my heart.
Oof, boy, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. I will agree with you that this is a great city, and I love the city, and I never want to move. But the winters are getting harder and harder to suffer
through. That is
true.
That is true.
For me, as I get older, I loved it as a kid, but now I hate it. But the only thing I hold out for is, like, we wouldn't appreciate the spring and summer if we didn't suffer through the winter. You know, it just gives you this love of when I see the outdoor dining table starting to be put back out.
When
it's
I see
like,
the tulips
my heart.
Budding, like, I'm just in like, Michigan. Oh, yeah. They're coming up.
312 asks, what are leggings? Yoga pants? Yeah, yoga pants, basically, right? Is there, there's no difference between leggings and yoga pants, is there, Jess? What's that?
Sort of.
What's the difference?
Leggings are more tighter fitting to your body. So I'm wearing leggings.
Yoga pants are tight fitting, aren't they?
Yeah, but they usually have more of like a flare by your foot. And there's usually like a fold over flap above your bottom.
The waist.
But yeah. There doesn't have to be, right?
All the ones that I've seen, I mean, but...
Okay, I learned some.
I suppose they're the same.
I mean, either way, they're tight-fitting pants, right?
Right. It's in the same category of pants. I could wear leggings all day, every day.
I imagine they're very comfortable.
They are. They're the best. I wear them to work. I wear them...
Wherever you can get away with it, huh?
Yes.
Do you wear them to mass, Jess?
Yes.
Do you really? Especially at mass. Are you kidding me?
And now I'm going to keep wearing
them. Drive those boys crazy. States like Arkansas, Wyoming, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Alabama have the lowest cost of living, but the latter three also have the lowest life expectancies. On the other end of the spectrum, the highest cost of living for residents is in Hawaii, California, Alaska, Connecticut, and New York. Kentucky is the worst state for retirees. New Jersey, West Virginia, Rhode Island, New Mexico were also at the bottom of the list. West Virginia has the lowest percentage of workforce age 65 or older. Despite its high population of that age group, it is also among the states with the lowest life expectancy. So there you go. Illinois appears nowhere in this article, and I imagine that's a victory for us because we would have guessed we're going to end up low on that list because of taxes and everything else. So hey, win for us. All right, we got to take a break. We got the news. I'm going to tell you how Science Fair went last week because, yes, I got to be a Science Fair judge. Thrill of my life. It was a very confusing and long day. I'll tell you about it next. 720 WGN. 4:27 in the morning. We'll get your news here in just a couple of minutes on 720 WGN. 605 writes, I live in South Dakota, and I feel the opposite. I loved visiting Chicago, but after a few days, I felt cramped and claustrophobic. And I get that. I totally get that. If you love living out in the area you live out in, you get used to it, you love it. I have the best of both worlds, really, because I live way outside of the city, where it's kind of roomy. It's not, isolating, but it's certainly a lot roomier than downtown. I get to come downtown all the time and enjoy that too.
Yeah, I understand.
And
that
I have
too.
The same thing, really.
Yeah, I have no neighbors. I live in the woods. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I live in the woods. I live in the dunes. So yeah, I get that too. I get experiencing both.
Does that ever freak you out?
Oh no, I love it.
At night, late at night, you hear a weird sound. You're creaking.
Coyotes,
nothing.
The coyotes howl every night. It's a beautiful thing.
It doesn't get to you.
I talk to the crows in the morning.
Okay.
When I come outside, they they signal each other that I'm out there. It's kind of strange. It's cool.
Are you a horror movie fan at all?
Not so much. I'm more sci-fi.
So you haven't seen Us?
No.
I went and saw that this week.
Oh.
It was good.
Like? Okay.
It was good, but I think it just got overhyped. It is, to me, it's not that, I thought his previous movie, Get Out, was way better.
Mm-hmm.
This has, the first hour especially, has a lot of like jump scares and things like that will freak you out.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't pan out quite as well as I think his other movie did. But I would be scared living where you live.
Mm.
I mean, I imagine I would get used to it.
You get used to it. See, I grew up there. I bought the house I grew up in.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, it is 4:30 in the morning. It's time for us to check some news headlines. If you want to call or text, 312-981-7200 is the number. Coming up at 5 a.m., we're going to say hi to Orion Samuelson as he'll have the morning show for us right now at 4:30 in the morning. Let's check the news headlines with Pam Jones. 4:34 in the morning, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here until 5 a.m. Hey, you know what I just heard from Bob Ferguson is we got to remember when we talk to Orion. Sunday, Orion turns 85.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to turn 85. He's in, I'm assuming, Arizona, where it's going to be 3 in the morning when he's doing a live show. At the age of 85, he's going to do a 3 a.m. radio show on Saturday mornings. He makes us all look so bad.
Yeah, he's doing it from his house.
Still, it's 3 in the morning.
That's true. But you know what? I want to stay active, don't you? Like when you get older,
I do
something. Because, you know, the idle mind is the devil's playhouse or whatever that saying is.
Idle hands, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, something idle.
No, I hear you. But man, I still want to be active at 85. I don't know if I want to be working at 3 in the morning. Do you?
Nah. I want to be in Vegas.
I want to be in a slot machine at 3 in the morning.
I want to be betting on something. No.
Well, more power to Orion. He keeps going. Jess just asked me, if what am I going to do when I'm 80?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hope I...
Come on.
I hope I stand upright and walk when I'm 80, quite honestly.
Well, you gave me and Roger a bucket list of things to do, so what is your bucket list?
Oh, well, that's not when I'm 80. That's just what you want to do before life is over, right?
Yeah, but that could be any time. If you make it to 80, awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, by the time I'm 80, I still want to be active. I want to see grandkids doing things and stuff like that and maybe still be working in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if I still have my company and things like that. If we can still travel and things like that. I do want to travel a lot more as I get older. I don't necessarily see myself ever retiring. You know, I imagine at some point by necessity, I will have to, but it's not like the old days where you're going to work 40 years, have some pension, and just live off it and go golfing all the time. I imagine I'll always be working in some way, shape, or form. But I don't know. I want to travel more as I get older and see more things. I'm really hoping. I was supposed to take the kids all to Europe this year. It just didn't work out with everything else going on in life, so I'm hoping for next summer. But
You should go on John Williams' trip with him
to Normandy and stuff. That sounds like a great trip.
That's funny. We were all talking about that today, how we were all just going to take off work and go with him,
and then I could just go in your suitcase, you know.
yes you could. Well, there's a 50-pound weight limit on those suitcases, you know. They're going to charge me extra for you.
I'll give you an extra $50. Don't worry. I'm only 103 pounds.
Well, that's not too bad. If we could get you into two suitcases, we'd make it. I don't know how we pull that off, though. That's the problem with that.
For some reason, I can, like, picture you when you're older being somewhere in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Like, with Jim, Natalie, whoever, and you're just going to be
group.
Like...
We're still at 80 years old, going to the veterinary conferences. Steve Dale's up there giving a speech to somebody.
And you're just going to be in the middle of the dance floor, and you're going to be that one that everybody's going to go to. Like,
look at that crazy old
like
man.
This.
God. God help me.
That would be memorable.
That would be. It's only 33 short years away.
You still look very young.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're so sweet. So kind, just because I gave you guacamole tonight.
Partially, no.
Coming up next week on the show, I'm hoping to get on an old friend of ours, Lindsay Rice. Used to write for DNA Info. She has her own media company now. She has a lot of different things she does. She just bought a company, and I had the original owners of this company on years ago on the show. It's called the Tata Top. Pam, have you ever heard of the Tata Top?
Nope.
The Tata Top is a bikini top that is, I don't want to say spray painted, but silk screened, whatever, to look like a human breast. And it's sort of a free the nipple movement top because, you know, between breastfeeding issues and just, you know, men can be shirtless wherever in public, women can't. It's sort of like a, you know, in your face type thing. And so you can buy these tops in all different colors, shapes, sizes to match you, whoever you are. And then you can wear it to the beach, to the park, wherever you want. And it looks like you're naked. It's pretty hilarious. And our friend Lindsay bought the company recently. And they're donating proceeds to women's causes and things like that. And it's kind of fascinating. And when you see a picture of somebody, you do a double take every time. It's not like when a guy's wearing that spray-painted shirt that looks like he's got ripped abs and you can totally tell it's a T-shirt. This, for a split second, you're like, what? Oh, they're wearing a top.
Or those fanny packs they sell in Walmart that look like a hairy beer belly. Have you seen those?
I have
awful,
not seen
man.
That.
I'm like, oh, really? Really? Oh,
that sounds terrible. So it looks like a beer belly's hanging out from under your shirt?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. If you're going to wear that stupid thing.
Yeah, and then they've got the full shirt, too. I've seen the full shirt.
Are you fanny pack pro or anti-fanny pack?
Why would you want that?
I don't know. Some people swear by the fanny pack. I think it's like, you know, getting a minivan when you don't need one. Well, like, why would you do that unless you have no choice?
I just looked up that Tata Top thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I like how it comes in a variety of different skin colors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is nice. And I really want to hear what this Marianne lady would say about the Tata Tops now.
Well, if they were wearing it at mass, she would freak her ass out is what would happen. She would lose it. Show up in your leggings and Tata Tops at mass at Notre Dame. There's going to be some problems when Marianne walks in.
I have a confession.
Uh-oh.
I actually attempted to order a burkini before they were cool.
Really?
Yeah, because my nieces, we were all down on the Gulf of Mexico where my parents live, and of course they wanted to go to the beach and to the pool, and I hadn't been to a beach or a pool in years, and I'm just like, I will only go if I can cover myself from my earlobes all the way down to my ankles. So I was furiously looking like on overseas websites to find these things because you couldn't find them. You really couldn't. They were not popular at all in the United States. And I had some stuff shipped that I couldn't get the traditional burkinis.
You just wanted to show nothing at all.
Exactly. So I ordered some kind of Nike like leggings. Probably exactly what Jess is wearing now. I ordered that to go into a pool and a top. I couldn't find sleeves, but I definitely found something that covered my bum. Oh yeah, I tried. And so today my niece sent me some memes and some articles about how burkinis are a lot more popular and there are a lot more websites available that I can get to now.
Well, and so what's behind that, Pam? You just don't
body shaming.
You body shamed yourself so bad that you don't want to. You want to cover up completely.
I feel better if everything's covered completely.
Oh, that's sad.
What's really sad is I really think it's having an effect on my niece. The one that sent me the article, she's probably looking to see if she can get one too now. And I'm like, okay, you are 14.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
You know, you see a lot of articles, and I know it's a lot tougher to. It's easy to say and tough to do, right? I think all of us. We're going to Mexico early this summer and I'm furiously trying to lose weight because I hate taking off my shirt and, you know, having a belly hanging out. I hate it, hate it, hate it. And the funny thing is you go to a resort or you go to a beach anywhere, no matter who you are, you will find 30 people that look worse than you do instantly. You should instantly feel okay with whatever you look like because there's a million people who just... It's funny how, like, you know, the way you go, and I feel sort of the same way. Like, I hate the love handles. I hate everything. But there are people out there, you're like, God, these people don't care about anything, do they?
It would be nice not to care. I wish I did.
You gotta applaud the people that are walking around in the thong that, like, everything's hanging everywhere, and they just haven't worked out in years, and they don't care, and they're just like, hey, this is who I am. And they are owning it. And you say, you know what? That's not me, but
bravo.
Good for you.
Bravo.
Good for you. Because and then I should at least feel better. Like, I don't look that bad. And everybody else does. So this is okay. But you still, you get that in your head and you just can't get rid of it.
I just wish I didn't compare myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's hard not to.
But
really,
this is the woman who puts makeup on before going to the ER. I'm like, you see, I got this little inhaler. Like, I had a coughing spell during one of
the
newscasts.
Pam, you've been shot. It's okay. Just hold on. Little gloss.
I can't breathe, but wait. Concealer.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. How did we get on that? How in the world did we get
the
on
burkini.
That? Oh, the Tata Top. That's right.
Oh, yeah, the Tata Top, too. I Googled it. It's sort of just like, because I honestly didn't really know what it was before, but it's sort of...
a bikini top that's just naked.
No, the burkini.
Oh,
thing.
The burkini. Well, that's just a head-to-toe bathing suit.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, Pam, because I notice a lot of women who have had kids or getting up in their 40s in my whole age bracket, I know a lot of them that Colleen won't buy a swimsuit. She will not wear just like a swimsuit bottom, like a one piece or whatever. She buys the skirts. A lot of women I see at resorts and things like that where the swimsuit bottom is a skirt too, built in.
Except
why?
For I would wear my sarong. My sarong would go in the pool with me all the way down to my ankles.
Because as women get older, it just like men, you worry about your legs and how they look and your thighs and all that stuff. And so this just covers up more and still looks cute.
Well, they are cute, but Colleen is cute. Both of you are cute. Just wear, what you want.
That's true. You should wear what you want, but it's what you're comfortable with, too. And just, we all have a lot of issues.
And what I want is a burkini.
Ay. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. If you're a golf fan, you might be interested to know, or if you're just the casual person who hasn't watched golf in years because Tiger Woods became not good anymore. He had a really good day yesterday. I'm reading from a Yahoo Sports report. Tiger Woods was meandering along in his third-round match against Patrick Cantlay, trading putts and fidgeting around, and then came the backstretch where Woods started playing in a style that reminded us of someone. Oh yeah, Tiger Woods. Over a four-hole stretch, Woods went birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie. That flipped a one-hole deficit into a three-hole lead with five to play. The capper when Woods stood about 80 yards from the hole on 13 and then put it in. Cantlay conceded winning putt to Woods on the 16th hole, which gave Woods the group 13 win and a pass into the tournament's Sweet 16. Woods hasn't reached that round of the tournament since 2008, where he won the tournament. He'll play Rory McIlroy Saturday morning, which should make for some must-watch television. I don't know who's carrying that, but if you're into the golfing, there's going to be some good stuff today with Tiger Woods, hopefully, if he keeps playing like that. Used to be so much fun watching Tiger Woods. 630 says, I bought a swimsuit cover-up. You'll want to hear this, Pam. I bought a swimsuit cover-up with UV protection and a hood to wear hiking in the desert. When photos came back wearing it with jeans, I looked like I was Muslim. Well, yeah, if you can cover up like that, it will remind you of that. Pam, you wanted to be the woman of mystery, right? But now you know how you feel. But now, how do you feel? But now, how do you feel? I don't quite understand that one. All this time, I thought math. 847 writes, all this time, I thought Matt was saying math. It's mass with leggings. Now I get it. Yes, they're not attending math in leggings. It's mass. Mass was causing the problems. 630 says, part of retiring is opening up a job for other people. Well, I don't think I'm ever going to think of it like that. I don't think any of us would ever think like, I need to make room for others. 847 says, dropping big cash on a European vacation with four college tuitions looming. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the brightest idea. I'm just saying it's something I'm thinking about doing.
You only live once.
That's true.
Spend it. You can't take it with you.
That's true. The problem is when you don't have it. That's where you get in trouble.
Yeah, that's where I am. So, yeah.
Spend it if you have it, sure. If you don't have it, then you're taking a little more of a risk.
Then get another credit card, right?
Oh, God. That's all I need. If they're dumb enough to give it to me, I guess. Well, they keep giving them to me, so I keep running them up. What else am I going to do with them? I mean, there is that. Got to take care of things like that. Are you a White Sox or a Cubs fan, Pam? Or are you a baseball fan?
Southside, baby. Southside. But I started out as a Cubs fan, so.
Oh, what happened? How'd you turn?
I grew up. No.
Wow.
No, I'm joking.
Throwing down.
You know, I really, you know, growing up, I was so young when I was a Cubs fan. I did not understand the rivalry thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I kind of took to the team that's easier for me to get to when I go to see a game, and that would be the White Sox.
Yes, it would. Sox had a rough start against Kansas City, but they'll be back at it today here on WGN Radio. And the Cubs are in Texas for game two. Yu Darvish will be on the mound today. They had a heck of a first game. That was pretty wild that they played as well as they did. Hopefully, we'll be interesting to see what kind of season they both have in our Blackhawks are sort of hanging on, sort of still in there. If they win out and some other teams give them a ton of help, but you know, the Hawks, the second half of the season, they would get your hopes up and then crush them. Every time they're doing so great, and then there's games they should win, then they lose them, and the games they shouldn't win, they win. They've been all over the place.
See, kind of like Northwestern, so I'm down with that. I get that.
That's true. That's really true. Northwestern, boy, I thought that basketball team was really going to take off after that run, and Bubkiss. Oh, let me tell you guys real quick about the, I forgot about last week, our triplets were in the science fair out in Northern Illinois, in DeKalb. And because we had all these kids coming from class, we had to also judge. So I got forced into judging, which was funny because the science teacher was begging us to volunteer. She's like, guys, we're bringing 9 kids. We have to bring volunteers or else they told me I got to, you know, not bring as many kids. So I'm going to have to cut kids unless you guys volunteer. So we had three kids going, so it felt like, well, we got to volunteer. We both end up doing all the other parents. No, we're not doing. No, we're not doing. They're just walking around. So I had to judge, which I hate. I don't listen. I love science. I'm incredibly bad at it. I respect the heck out of it. I love people that love it. I love that we need scientists and all that stuff. It's just a PTSD thing for me, science fair and things like that. I had to judge. So I'm assuming I'm judging, you know, I have seventh graders. I'm assuming I'm judging seventh and eighth graders. I have three papers I have to be part of a judging team for. Two of them are kids at IMSA, the Illinois Math and Science Academy. So these are kids. I literally am listening to a kid report on one girl did a study on how we can, on the best food waste to get electricity from for poor villages and places in the world that don't have electricity. How can they use their food runoff in the soil to create electricity?
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. And then we had one seventh grader. And then another gentleman from IMSA did a report on neural networks. I'm still not sure I understand what a neural network is. But basically, he was running a program to teach a computer to recognize images. So the goal was of it was for, like, so we have a lot of invasive species in different places where they shouldn't grow, plant life and stuff like that. And if an invasive species grows somewhere, it might suck all the nutrients out of the soil and cause other things to die, right? So we want to get rid of an invasive species. His experiment was teaching this computer basically to recognize that he used, I believe it was hydrangeas as his example. So in a field full of hydrangeas, you would take pictures and then put them into the computer, and the computer would then tell you whether there were invasive species in that field or not, to reduce the time that it spent people to look and find this stuff. It was crazy. I'll tell you what, you want to feel dumb in your old age? Go see what high schoolers, really smart high schoolers, are working on, and just you'll be reassured that the world will still be a good place someday. But you'll also be like, "Wow, I am dumb. These kids are amazing. How do they know all this stuff?" I mean, it was humbling to say the least, and it was fun. It was fun to get to see kids try to talk through those things and be shy, and, you know, as smart as these kids are, to, you know, they're still kids, right? So they're going through it too fast. They're talking a mile a minute. They haven't gotten all of their speaking persona down yet. They're just really, really, really smart, which is really cool, but also scary. All right, we're going to say hi to the birthday boy in just a minute here. 720 WG. Oh, hello. I threw Jess off there. She wanted to play a bump that I told her not to play. I didn't get a chance to talk to Bob. I don't know if Mr. Orion Samuelson is already on the line. Big O, are you there, sir?
I am here. Good morning. Greetings from WGN West, Scottsdale, Arizona.
What's the weather like?
Well, we're clear, 60 degrees. Yesterday hit 82 degrees.
Nice.
With lots of sunshine. And, you know, I thought generally when spring training season ended, all of the traffic went away and getting into restaurants was easy and all that. But then I forget it's spring break time and Easter is coming up. And there,
yeah,
we went to a restaurant last night where the earliest reservation or the only reservation we could get was 4:15 in the afternoon. But that was okay because we got home in time to watch the NCAA. So that was fine.
Oh, good. Excellent. Now, Orion, I got to say, I hear that you have a big birthday tomorrow, sir.
Well, to me, every birthday is big, but yes, I guess tomorrow is a little bit bigger. I've been on the planet 85 years as of tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, and it will be a happy one. We're doing dinner tonight at our favorite outdoor restaurant in Paradise Valley. And they have a beautiful outdoor patio, flowers and shade trees and all that. And it'll be warm enough so that we can sit outdoors for dinner.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous sight. That's my favorite time of year in Chicago, is when you see the restaurants first putting the patio furniture back out. You know that the spring is finally coming and the good weather is going to be here. Well,
indeed.
Excellent. Are you? Was there anything on your wish list? Do you ask for birthday presents anymore, Orion?
Yeah, I've got everything I need.
Yeah.
So I really don't ask for anything and don't expect anything except a lot of greetings. And I've been hearing from a lot of folks. I've just been going through my email this morning, and the email is quite loaded with people who want to say happy birthday, and I'm always amazed at people who find time to do that and send birthday cards, and I thank them all because I can't do it personally, individually, but I thank them collectively here on WGN.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit earlier about the worst states to retire to. Orina, I'm guessing that you're still working on your retirement plan, another 10 years or so, and you'll be there. What's your projection on that?
Well, you know what Paul Harvey did when he was 92, he signed a 10-year contract, and so I'm thinking of kind of doing that maybe, but I don't know. Retirement, as my wife Gloria says, you can't even pronounce the word, and I did kind of try it once, and I flunked, and so I'm just having too much fun, and I've always said when I'm not having any fun anymore, I'll get out of the business, but yeah. I'm having too much fun working with people like you.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you, and you're right. If you enjoy what you're doing, why would you ever stop, right?
Yep, that's right.